Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight. Anyway, folks, thank y'all for joining in to another episode of Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Five Smooth Stones. I'm Brother Seth. Well, thank y'all for your time tonight. Some of you worship, honor, pay homage to the Thanksgiving today. As you do that, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. You didn't have to do that on this holiday for many people. So I just again want to thank you for listening. Tonight is, as y'all know, Thursday night. And on Thursdays we talk about what?
New World Order. And the name of this show is the New World Order Watch Society. And the reason I call it that is I wanted to put a name to the group of people that meet every Thursday night on this show. We are a watch society. We are watching. Not only does the Bible say watch and pray, but it also tells us to be wise at the times. It also tells us that we are supposed to expose evil, but not to the degree where we leave people hopeless, where we leave people afraid, where we leave people just destitute mentally, emotionally. And I think sometimes in these shows we mean well, but we got a lot of people that's feeling destitute, a lot of people that's feeling hopeless. And I want to apologize for my part in accomplishing that because, again, that is not what we are about. Simple and plain, we're not about that. Enough hopelessness going on without folks revealing wicked folks' schemes on the planet. So, again, I don't think I've really done that much. I mean, I've always talked about the Most High and His kingdom that's coming, as the song was talking about, a little bit about. But sometimes I do kind of lean a lot on what the enemy is doing and what he's about and who he's using. And we got to be very, very careful because a lot of people are listening and a lot of people believe what they're hearing on a lot of these shows. And if they're not careful, they can become very, very despondent, sad, hopeless. And that is not what the Most High is about. So, again, I apologize if I've ever done that. But tonight, we're going to try to talk about a lot of things that, and I'm going to try to hit some topics I've never really talked about on this show. I talk about a lot of stuff on this show. But tonight, I want to talk about something that's really dear to my heart. It was a show, a documentary that came out called Fed Up. I'm sure a lot of y'all might have saw it. Fed Up. And what this was doing was exposing the engineered food that we all eat. I mean, exposing it in a way that I haven't heard probably ever. I mean, this show is a really, this was, I think this might have been done in 1999. And I don't know when exactly the document was made. I know it's not that old, but it may be as old as 1999. But the news then was just horrible. I mean, straight up horrible. And I can only imagine what it would be if they did a show today talking about the same things. I mean, folks, y'all got to hear this. I'm going to try to load up this video or audio in a second and just we all kind of listen in as to what has happened to the food industry and just how much this place is truly Babylon. Just how much this place is truly trying to destroy its citizens. But we don't lose hope. It's all hope is not lost because the Bible says, and I know many of you believe in that book, where sin abounds, grace doeth much more abound. Where sin abounds, grace doeth much more abound. Many of you believe that. I know you do. So whenever you see sin, just wickedness, you know, just know in your knower, as they say, that where sin abound, grace doeth much more abound. So I just want to say tonight we're going to talk about some solutions in the middle of this decadence world, in the middle of this decadent nation. So That's what we're going to get into here in a second. But before I do, I want to go ahead and hear from a couple of brothers that's been blessed by the show. And then we're going to get right into this message, okay? So we'll be right back in a second.
Hey, all. This is John Clark in Lexington, Kentucky. I just want to give big ups to By Smooth Stone's Blog Talk Radio show. Reason being is that I've enjoyed this show. I've enjoyed it from its inception with Brother Seth and Sister Arlene. They have given greater clarity, I guess I would say, to a lot of the scriptures that we always knew were there, but now they have opened up these scriptures so that now I can see things that I just simply had not seen before. And now when I study the Bible, I look at it from an entirely different perspective. And this is actually not just for the Hebrew Israelites or for the Christians. This is just from a scientific standpoint. Anyone can listen to this show and enjoy it as such. Not to mention the fact that Brother Seth brings a lot of humor to it, which makes it very, very down to earth. So big ups to the Five Smooth Stones. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Shalom, and welcome to Five Smooth Stones Radio with Brother Seth, a place where the Hebrew Israelite can call home and where an awakening is taking place from the four corners of the earth. Five Smooth Stones with Brother Seth have compelling and informative programming during the week, starting with, on Sundays at 11:30 p.m., Proof of Biblical Hebrews 101, Tuesdays at midnight, Racial Matters and Solutions, Thursdays at midnight, New World Watch Society, and around out the week on Saturdays, the International Israelite Forum. Check back with Five Smooth Stones for specific times, and all shows are on Central Standard Time. I'm Brother Bobby, a.k.a. Victim to Victorious, and these shows have been a blessing to me, and I'm sure they'd be a blessing to you. So come check out Brother Seth here at Five Smooth Stones Radio, where your mind will be expanded, your spirit challenged, and the peace of the Most High reigns supreme. Shalom.
So I just wanted to just let those brothers share. I always like playing them. Those are just a couple of people that have been blessed and have the nerve enough to make a recording. Some people have been blessed equally and just have promised me and just been too shy to do it. So there are people that are being blessed because, after all, if we ain't helping folks, we're wasting time. It's just that simple. So I just want to say tonight's show, we will talk about solutions. There is great news. We are not hopeless. We are not hopeless, folks. Okay? In the end, we will win. In the end, we will win. Okay? So tonight I want to talk about, like I said, several things on my mind, lots on my mind. But the main thing that's on my mind tonight, in addition to providing a solution while in the middle of talking about all this wickedness, is this topic that I've gotten posted that says, is the United States really great, or is it a haven of great abomination? I think both answers is the truth. Just to let you know, go ahead and not even tease to let you know what the answer is going to be. Both answers, okay, simple and plain, both answers. The United States is a great nation that it has given to a lot of people, helped a lot of people, is resident to a lot of people. The list goes on and on and on about what America has done, but what people don't like to talk about is what is going on in the back room to cause this nation to be the great nation it is. Why is it wealthy? Why is its military powerful? How is it so influential? How is it that it controls everything? Why is all of these governments for us? Why do we have so many things in high places? My friend, tonight I will share with you some of the most sad commentary, some of the most hard-to-believe news, some of the most profound wickedness you have ever heard in your life, some of you know circles around me in this, and I'm not trying to teach you necessarily, but you can be reminded, everybody can be reminded. But folks, We want to look at exactly what is this place we call the United States. Why was it born? What is its part in prophecy? Every nation has a part to play. Every single nation. There's really only, and this is going to probably mess with some of y'all, but according to Genesis 10, I believe it is, there's only 70 nations. And as prophecy unfolds, different nations, those 70 nations, birth of a nation, and now today we have, 200-some nations. But the truth of the matter is there's really only 70 nations. There's a calling upon these different nations, and every nation plays different parts in this end-time event. The United States is a major player. When we look at the surface, just looking at the external, it looks like we are a great nation, mighty military, loving people, democracy, and the big thing we have is religious freedom. And we have Christianity that goes all over the world, setting people free, blah, blah, blah. But if you examine the Christianity we preach, you often find that a lot of it don't have anything to do with the Bible. Now, yes, I believe in the Most High, and yes, I do believe in a person that walked this earth, Yeshua. I don't believe his name was Jesus, but I do believe a person walked this earth, and he was everything the scriptures say about him. Okay, we may agree to disagree on it. I know some of y'all don't, but just keep listening to the show, and hopefully you'll see the light on that. Or perhaps you can show me the light. But I can assure you, he did live, die, rose again, and is to return a ruling king. And I know a lot of people say, well, it's been so long, where is he at? And, you know, we can always question anything in the Bible. But, you know, the one thing we can for sure look forward to, and that is our death. So whether or not our death precedes the Messiah, we don't know. But I can assure you, probably 90% of you, probably 99% of you, probably all of you listening to me, will probably see the grave before the Messiah returns, according to Scripture, because some things just haven't been fulfilled yet. We have been looking at a people calling themselves Israel, and we have set out prophetic clocks according to them, and many people no longer believe in the rapture or no longer believe in Christ's return because they've been looking at Israel. And as you know, when Israel become a nation, certain things go to happen, the Messiah is to return. Well, Israel became a nation, no Messiah. So obviously something is wrong somewhere. Either the people in Israel are not the true clock we look at, or, you know, we've been lied to on a lot of fronts. So what we do on this show, we try to look at truth. We try to look at hardcore truth. Now, tonight, under the microscope is the United States. We're looking at what exactly is this country. Is it a great country? Is it really a great country? Is it a country? Do we think people are running here to get this great freedom we got? Do we think people are running here to get all that America has? I beg to differ with a lot of a lot of different talk shows and newscasters and different people, educators, that say that the United States, the reason why people is flocking here is because of its wealth. I mean, because of its it being a great nation. I think the reason why people are flocking here is because of its wealth. I think that poverty is the number one reason people find themselves in the United States. Poverty. Simple and plain, poverty, not having enough. And they come here, 90% of them. I've never talked with someone from India that wanted to come to the United States because they just admired the way that marriages are in the United States, or they admired the way our young people act and the respect that our young people give our elders, and they want to leave their godforsaken country because their young people is off the chain, and they want to come to the United States and have their young people to pick up the way our young people. You know, I've never, ever heard that. I've never heard people say we want to come to the United States because we like the race relationships, how all the so-called, which I don't even believe in a race based upon color, but I've never heard anybody say we want to come because all the blacks and so-called blacks and the so-called whites get along, and we want that because in our country that's not so. Never heard that. Most of the time I hear people, when they come to the United States, they're coming for a better life, and I say, well, what do you mean a better life? Sometimes Islamic people from Arab world say they can express themselves more, and that in the Arab countries they are persecuted for freedom of speech. And I said, okay, well, it's enough of y'all saying that, so that must be true. So let's go ahead and give America a point on that. Let's go ahead and keep tab here. So America does have a freedom of speech, right? To where you can come, you can say whatever you want to say, and that's not so in a lot of Arab countries. We know that, okay, right? But let's examine it a little closer. We talk about freedom of speech tonight. Hopefully we get around to talking about this documentary called Fed Up, where it's talking about our diet being engineered, our food being engineered. And y'all heard it, it's going to really make a lot of y'all sick. I promise you, you're going to be done. Some of y'all just ain't gonna appreciate that at all. But anyway, folks, listen. Listen to me, please. In this United States, they say we are free to say what we want to say. But there are many people that are in their graves right now because they just simply had a blog just like I got, and they said the wrong thing. Let me tell you what I believe. I don't think we have no more of freedom of speech than the people in the Arab countries. I just think we don't know nothing to say. We don't know the things to say. That's the key. They'll let you talk, but they'll make sure you don't have any influence. But you get a listening audience following you like the people like Rush Limbaugh. Let him start talking about the one world government and let him start really talking about what's really going on, not just some general, oh, there's a one world government. No, start talking, calling names, and trust me, he will not be around very long. And that's what I have seen all of my life in the United States, that if you speak the wrong thing, your freedom of speech is just as restricted as it is in any Arab country. Remember Clinton came on and he made this comment that there is a government so powerful that one should not speak above or whisper. And actually, it was JFK said that. And shortly after, we know what happened in Dallas. But then Clinton said something similar, and the very next day he put in an ad in the New York Times. Was it the New York Times? One of the New York magazines. He was apologizing for his comment. I'm telling you, you are about as free as an animal in a local zoo. I mean, folks, we got to really look at these freedoms. Freedoms. Let's look at the freedoms we have in the United States. Let's look at some of these freedoms. Again, I say that the freedoms in the United States is a joke. It's not. So I'm going to say, well, you know, you can say it's a joke because you never lived in a lot of these countries. If you ever go to Saudi Arabia and a lot of these countries, you can't even have a blog. Okay, that may be true. Maybe we are allowed to talk more. But let's not get crazy with it and say we have a freedom of speech. You may have a little bit more freer. I guess we can say it. I don't know how we would call it. But don't ever think that you can just start up a blog and they'll let you say whatever. You can be saying all kind of truth. But if ain't nobody listening and you don't have credentials, if you are, let's say, the government is not dumb. They look at you. They see if you have bad credit or no, if you don't have very many listeners or if they know a lot about us personally. And when they see we're not a threat and nobody's going to take us serious, you can say whatever you want to say. Nobody's going to believe you. Who cares what the local bum on the corner is talking about as people walk by? He's a bum on the street. Society don't listen to street people. He can be saying whatever he want to say, and it can be the truth. He can be Christ himself. If he come as a bum, ain't nobody going to listen to him. And I mean that. If Christ himself came as a bum, dressed up, and started to speak, I mean, ain't nobody even listen long enough to even hear it. Ooh, he makes a lot of sense. They ain't going to give him the time of day. And if they listen, it's over. And I'm just saying that's the way a lot of us are. We're just bombs to the government. They're not threatened by us. They're not threatened by Brother Seth on this show saying what I say, but let some listeners start listening. Or let certain people of influence status listen to me and I'm saying something. Then I become a threat. We no more have the freedom of speech than a man in the moon. And I welcome you to please call the phone lines, which I know some of y'all will, and challenge me on that. People that have spoken out have come up missing. Folks that have taken certain positions have come up missing, okay? It's just that simple. So that is a joke. The other joke we have, and I'm going to talk, we're going to get into some solutions later. We ain't going to end up just dogging out America. We're going to, I don't want us to end, like I said earlier in the show, we don't want to just wrap the show up with everybody feeling hopeless and we can't do nothing about this great giant, this great bully called America, the United States. Is just nobody is, it's not going to go out like that. The same, the Most High allowed America to be who it is. And y'all, some of y'all ain't going to agree with what I'm about to say, but even called her to do the things she's doing. That's, I know how I sound there. But you got to understand there's a lot of nations that he have called into existence. Because let's talk about Pharaoh. Remember he said to Pharaoh, let my people go. What did Pharaoh say? Nope. Let my people go. What did Pharaoh say? Nope. Let my people go. And the Pharaoh said, nope. And then the Bible says that the Most High hardened the heart of Pharaoh to where he couldn't say yes. What? Pharaoh kept saying, no, I'm not going to let your people go. No, kept telling Moses, I'm not going to let them go. I'm not going to let them go. Moses said, listen, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. These are my people. Said no, no. So then the Most High allowed to put it in Pharaoh to where he couldn't, even if he wanted to let him go, he couldn't. It's a scripture that talks about if you keep pursuing something, then the Most High will give it to you. You keep on pursuing a wicked thing, you keep on pursuing wickedness, you're tapped into this law, and he must reward it to you. He that seeketh will find. It talks about and it looks like we got a question here, so I'll get to the question and comment. But the Bible talks about, I can't even think here. My mind is racing, so many things I want to talk about. But it talks about this certain person that constantly pursues sin. If y'all can head down and check on, some of y'all know exactly what I'm trying to reach for. A certain type of mindset. You keep on pursuing evil, you keep on pursuing, he'll just give you the mind where it's all you know. It's all you can. A reprobate mind. The Bible talks about a reprobate person. In other words, if you keep pursuing, the Most High is saying stop, and you keep pursuing, he's saying stop. You've tapped into that law that if you work at something, he will reward you. And he will reward you that wickedness, and then you can't get out of it. It's like your mind is reprobate. You see people. They keep dabbling in some, and they keep getting warnings. Hey, don't do that. Next thing you know, you look at them, and they look like their mind is gone. That's called a reprobate. It is real, and that's basically what happened to Pharaoh. The Most High hardened his heart. Somebody said, why would the Most High change his heart the way he couldn't do right? Because that's what he pursued. He kept pursuing evil. Don't get mad at the Most High. Get mad at Pharaoh for not letting his people go after he had been hit with all types of plagues. So let me just see what this person is going to say. And again, we're talking about the freedoms. We're going to hit the freedoms tonight. And we're going to talk about the freedom of speech. We're going to talk about the freedom of this, the freedom of that. We're going to talk about democracy tonight. And we're just going to look at this place called America. Now, I've got a feeling this is my brother Sarge. And I know Sarge is going to probably be him in the disagree if this is him. Hopefully I didn't mess up guessing that. But we'll go to this caller, and then we'll go back and come back and talk about, again, looking at America under the microscope. Is she indeed a great nation, or is she greatly wicked? Cream of the crop of wickedness, top dog wickedness. And before I go to this caller, let me just say this. Another thing I'll say is this. One of the reasons we're so powerful, it's because we do what we did with Gaddafi. When we need, if you got what we need, some kind of way, we're going to start putting it out there with propaganda that you're this and you're that and get the whole world to believe that you're a bad guy. And then here we come with the guns, killing these innocent young boys. May the Most High bless their hearts for trying to work, to trying to sacrifice, make our lives better, serving as soldiers. High respect for soldiers, low respect for the mission. But we go in there, send these boys in there, and we just take all over the world. We take and set up these puppet regimes. That's how we become powerful. Why has the CIA got their nose in every single key election on the planet, especially where there is raw material that we need very badly? Do you really think we just great into God bless America, land that I love? I mean, do you really think that God shed his love on thee? Do you really think it, or is that we put and pull them guns on thee and put some bullets in thee? Do you really think that the Most High have blessed her? Or have it, is it our military? I heard a sergeant say this, and I'm going to come go to the caller. I heard a sergeant say this one time, a general in the Army. He said, a lot of people, he said, freedom is not free. A lot of people have no clue what we do to keep this freedom y'all enjoy. That's what Brother Seth is talking about tonight. What does he mean by that? What are they doing? And if they're busting people upside the head and getting it through bloodshed, let's just call it for what it is and let's change the way we sing. Quit saying God has blessed thee. You go around with an AK and tanks and all that, you're going to get a whole bunch of stuff. So America, United States, and Great Britain, they're not innocent, the EU, it's nothing more than giant warehouses full of goods. So is it any wonder people are breaking their neck, coming over here in boats just to get a hold of this stuff? Area code 760-429. Welcome to Five Smooth Stone. This is your host, Brother Seth. Who am I speaking with?
Ah, you must be prescient, sir. This is Brother Sarge.
Brother Sarge. I thought that was you at 760 number. How are you doing tonight?
Fine, thank you, sir. And yourself?
I'm doing just wonderful. If you celebrate the Thanksgiving, a happy Thanksgiving. I mean, I'm not hating on it. I know a lot of my brothers don't no longer celebrate the holidays, but I feel like if you're thankful and you're not out there doing all that Black Friday crazy stuff, then you're doing the right things, because ain't nothing wrong with setting a day aside and being extremely thankful. So hopefully you're thankful tonight, Sarge. What's on your mind?
Well, yeah, I had a great Thanksgiving. I celebrate Thanksgiving, absolutely. I think it's one of the most, I think it's one of the purest holidays on the calendar. I think it is one you should celebrate. And if you don't, well, that's your business. You don't have to either. But I will, and I intended to, and I did, and I had a lovely time. Now, I'm going to have to correct you here, sir. You cannot call the United States a democracy. It never was intended to be a democracy. It is not a democracy. It's not mentioned anywhere in the Constitution. You will not see the word democracy in there once. You see the word republic in there three times. It is a constitutional republic. There is a difference, because a democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding what to have for lunch. So it's not a democracy. So, you can't call it that. It's just not true.
Let me ask you a question. I understand what you say in this republic for which we stand. I understand that, but Sarge, isn't our elected officials chosen on a democratic legislative process? Yes or no?
Well, yeah, there's a democratic aspect to it. Of course that is true. But the Electoral College,
right,
for instance, is a rejection
saying.
Of
I'm
democracy.
Saying, all I'm saying, Sarge, is, and I appreciate the call, is that our country, everything we do, we put the president there by a democratic process. We put
The Electoral College specifically is a rejection of democracy. It is possible to lose a Democratic vote and gain the Electoral College vote, and you'll be the president.
Yeah, but even with the Electoral College, now hold on, with the Electoral College, you telling me that's not the democratic process in the way they, in their own world? I know they're a different body, I understand that, but you still, Sarge, it's still democratic process, even within the electorate.
No, I concede a democratic aspect, but it's not a democracy. It has democratic
aspects.
That's like saying a Piper Cub and a 747 are the same because they're both aircraft and they both fly. Well, there's big differences, though, in the way they operate and their capabilities.
Listen, I don't want to get caught up on the minors and forget the majors. The bottom line is, and I disagree with you, we're going to have to agree or disagree. I vehemently disagree with you, but I will say this much. Whatever you want to call this government, which I stand by being a democratic society, democratic process run, supposed to run. I'm about to talk about this whole democratic process as being a joke. That's what I'm about to do. And when I get through, you're going to see that it's that 1% that really runs this country and not the vote at all.
Well, I want to specifically answer your comment about freedom of speech. And if you do have to, first of all, you have to, what is constitutional freedom of speech? Well, specifically, it says something very specific. It's fairly narrowly focused. What it says is that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's what it says. It's incumbent on the government. Your employer can restrict your freedom of speech. If you work for a radio station, say you're a talk show host and you make statements that are manifestly at odds with their editorial position, your employer can fire you. Your employer can fire you for various
activities. Yeah, but we're not talking about employer. What I'm talking about, Sarge, is the fact people running around, people come here from other countries and they say, I'm coming to America because in America we have these freedom of speech. You say what you want. You're free. I'm talking about those people right now. Sarge, listen. They are talking about when they protest out in the streets, this, that, and the other, they are thrown in jail. They can't have talk shows like we're having right now. They can't be out there having to occupy Wall Street. I'm specifically, let's stay focused, sorry, because you are a walking encyclopedia. You know, anytime somebody says something, you're going to give them four pages. What I'm saying, let's talk specific. I believe with all my heart that the only reason we can do all these little blogs like this and say powerful things like, you know, the United States, all these things that you hear of, we talk about on Thursday night that nobody hardly believes, the vaccinations being used to destroy I can just go on and on, that stuff that really is going on, you know, the New World Order, the realness of the New World Order, secret society, Masons, who really controls. When you start talking about stuff like that, they don't care. You don't have nobody listening. But now you get some numbers like Rush Limbaugh. You start saying that they know that one telecast can mean millions of people. Rush Limbaugh have no clue what kind of power he have if he start to quit hating on Barack, hating on President Obama, and just really start trying to gather those people. He can have an army, for real. What I'm saying is, as long as you don't do that, they'll let you live. They don't do nothing because you're no threat. I mean, you're no threat as long as it's
now,
you.
Now, wait a minute.
Wait a second. You're no threat if you don't have any numbers. You're no threat if you don't have any power. Now, if you're a blogger like myself and they know that certain key people are listening to you, let's say Newt Gingrich, they found out he was listening to Brother Seth, then all of a sudden I become an item. I'm somebody they want to. But I don't think the United States government is following all of us. Yes, people be bumping me off the internet. Yes, there's all kind of things. I've gotten phone calls. Everybody have experienced that. But those are regular old white people that's got, you know, they have a way now that you can tap in the phone lines. I know about that. They have a way you can hack people's computers. Anybody can. You can pay about $300. I mean, for real, you can. It's their ways. These are small time people. But when you talk about the big boys, CIA, FBI, these kind of people really looking at you and really messing with you and really attempting to assassinate you, that's because you're saying something and you have a following, or there's certain key people that you're speaking to and they feel like you're going to influence them. In that regard, you do not have no freedom of speech. That's what I'm trying to say. This freedom of speech is a joke. We only have freedom of speech to some level because we're not a threat. You become a threat, nobody has the freedom of speech in the United States, no more than they do in Arab countries.
Well,
so
let me understand that, because, boy, that's kind of unfocused there, Seth. Look, look, if anybody in the government tries to murder or does murder you because of something you said, they have committed a crime. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, because you know what? When you exercise your freedom of speech, you've got to be prepared often for consequences. Because there are people out there who will want to shut you up. I agree with that. But that doesn't mean the government's got the right to do it. If they find out, you know, frequently, as we have been known to happen in the past, people have been prosecuted and gone to jail for it. So, yes, there are people, are there government officials that commit illegal acts? Yeah, that's why we keep saying you got to keep monitoring government to make sure it ain't doing nothing wrong. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. Yeah, there are people out there, especially when government, like, look at Fast and Furious. The government's policies are directly leading to the deaths of people in Mexico and in the government, including government agents. The government's policies directly leading to their deaths. And now the government is conducting an inquiry into actions of these government officials. That's the way it works. And freedom of speech is no different. There are people in the government, outside the government, who might not like something you say, and they might want to kill you for it. And they might, in fact, kill you for it. That doesn't mean you don't have freedom of speech. It means you got to be prepared to deal with the consequences of people who don't want to hear what you got to say and won't employ any method to shut you up.
Listen,
people
listen,
are also
listen,
known
listen,
as
I'm not talking
people
about
and tyrants.
I'm not talking about non-government people doing whatever because they don't like you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when your government officials literally go after anybody that's going to shed true light on what they're doing covertly. I'm saying
okay,
that
tell me
means
when did this happen? Give me a specific example now. You were talking about specifics a minute ago.
I'm not. You know
what's
wrong?
Murdered
I'm not
by the government for speaking their mind.
Sorry.
Come on.
There are so many people in their grave because they
all
spoke
right,
out.
Be able to name them.
Huh?
Come on. Give me a name of a person specifically murdered by the government
you remember,
for speaking their mind.
I'm trying to get something that's popular. I can name. I remember all of those scientists that was coming up missing when they came up against when 9/11 was happening. There was Bush was trying to get these scientists to sign off on this weapons of mass destruction, and they end up just dying, you know, because they was not agreeing with him. I can't think of the names, but man, you're talking about everybody. Hold on. You asked me a question. I'm trying to answer. Sarge, if you're asking me to name you people that spoke out in the government and they wound it up dead, do you think that's going to be something? Even though I know of people, anybody I name, you're going to be able to say, well, there was a broadcast that said that there was not foul play involved. But we as the
Sarge,
I'm not going to you're taking a lot of my time for one, but there is so much out there. I don't even want to use my brain to try to appease you, because I know that you know that there are probably tons of people you can think of that spoke out against the government on this, that, and the other, and they wind up not being able to get a job. They wind up either dead. They wind up railroad. They wind up blackmail. That is just the way it is, man. I can't believe you really can't name anybody specific. Hold on.
And therefore, there's no point in arguing about it. Is that it?
Sarge. One point, you are a scholar. We didn't start talking about the Constitution. You sound like a recording. But then when we start talking about stuff that we all know, there ain't a person listening that knows that if you start rattling off what the CIA, FBI doing, I mean some serious stuff they're doing, that you won't be ridiculed. You won't be taken out. You know, I remember when
They had a hand in the death of Nguyen Diem in Vietnam. They had a hand in the death of Allende in Chile. I know about the things they had. They had a removal of Mossadegh in Iran. I know that. Those are historical facts. Now, if you told me that, I wouldn't be arguing with you. But you're saying we know there are all these people, there are innumerable people who have been murdered for speaking their minds with their, using exercising their First
this
Amendment.
What I'm gonna do? I'm gonna do a better job than that. I'm gonna name you books to read where you can hear lots of cases. You have them, have it for your reading forever. Okay, I'll tell you this very quickly. Get anything by Noam Chomsky. That's all he do is reveal how imperialist this government is and what they're doing all across the world. And he says it like he says it so calmly. It's nothing new. It's nothing new. Okay? But let's go a little further, okay? Get anything about Michael Bradley, okay, the Iceman heritage. Get anything by any of these guys. But we can go Farrakhan's been talking about it forever. All types of cases. All of the civil rights leaders have been talking about it forever. Every single one of them know that. It's been going on forever. I don't know where you've been. Okay? I'm saying, Hold on, wait a minute. I'm not done. Sarge, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm not going to be doing all that. I'm just going to mute you because when I say hold on, I don't care how excited you are, you just got to let me get this out. What I'm saying to you, Sarge, now I'll unmute you. Sarge, I want you to listen to me, please. I'm saying this to you. First of all, when they murder somebody or when they poison somebody or when somebody wind up dead, I'm trying to think of the gentleman, his name, who was going to be a key vote had he lived problem is you come at me now. If you say, Seth, do a show on this, then we can sit up and talk about names all day long. But just sitting up here, what's this person's name who died in a plane crash? It's so much evil. I can't remember everybody's name and all that, but I do remember this. I'm probably going to think of here, but it was a gentleman. He held a Senate seat, and his plane crashed. They said he's been going on his route back and forth forever, but he had a key vote that could actually stop somebody from being sworn in, and this brother plane crashed, and everybody knew which way he was going to vote. But that's just one little thing I'm thinking of. But there are so many times when people have said, hold on, don't cut me off, please. So many times, Sarge, I just have to do a show on assassins by the government or something. Okay, just bring all these books, all these cases, all these trials, and then I wonder where you're going to be at then. What I'm saying is it is no mystery that in the United States, if you go speaking the wrong thing, on the wrong show, you can wind up missing. Okay, I remember Maxine Waters said that the United States government was bringing crack cocaine into the black community. Everybody knew that the woman had all kind of proof. I don't know what they told that lady, but that lady went to congressman, and she brought that lady back out of that state. She said, I was wrong. I just
yeah, because it was, yeah, the and, crack, it was all a crock.
No,
CIA's
no,
done
no,
a
no.
lot of look. CIA's done a lot of shady stuff. That wasn't one of them. They had nothing. They
of
had,
course,
you're
gonna say that's not one of them. But look, if you go ask Jamal and Ray Ray them, hey, what happened when you was downtown? They say, man, you know who? I've got. I'm not gonna go mention no names and get people in trouble. But trust me, I know some people that have done some serious stuff in the areas of drug dealing, you know, and they happen to be related to me. And I'm telling you, if you really look at the bottom of a lot of these people, like when I was in Cincinnati specifically, I was talking to this particular gentleman, and, you know, sometimes these guys, they just want to confess to somebody, and I was just sharing with him, and I said, where do y'all get this stuff? He said, man, you'd be surprised. Half the time we get this stuff from the cops. I said, wait a minute, cops? He said, yeah. If a cop busts you with a kilo, do you really think they're going to turn that in if they know a way they can keep? They keep a lot of this. You think they're going to burn 85 $50,000 worth of drugs and don't keep none of it and knowing that they can have their own little market? Are you crazy? This is
okay.
Mankind. I'm a Christian,
you,
man.
Okay.
I never kept any of it.
I'm telling you, I didn't know you were going to be a liar. Fire. I didn't keep it. I don't know any cops who kept. I don't personally know any cops who kept drugs. Yeah, I knew of some who got arrested for it because they broke the law like any other criminal, and they were prosecuted like any other criminal because that's what they were. They were confiscating drugs and they were selling.
Sarge,
but I'm telling you, I didn't do it.
I lived in Cincinnati from 1991 to 2008. I can tell you some things right now. If anybody was on this line from Cincinnati, they will light into you like a wolf. I'm telling you, a lot of those cops.
Hey,
nothing
they
more.
Know,
listen,
look,
listen,
I don't
listen.
Know everything
Hold
going
on. Don't
on
cut
in
me
Cincinnati.
Off. Don't cut me off. Don't cut me off. Don't cut me off. A lot of these cops. Have did everybody said, where did the Klan go? Where is the Klan? They ain't marching on the street no more. Where is the Klan? They used to ride up and down in hoods on horses. So where are they at? They are now in the police system. Listen what I'm saying. The United States government sent the Attorney General office back when Cincinnati had those riots. I was in the middle of it. And they sent their people from the government, I forget her name. I can't think of her name. Right when Bush was president, but anyway, she sent her people to police the police in Cincinnati. Their final report was these policemen in the city of Cincinnati, Ohio, answers to no one. They don't answer to the manager. They don't answer to the manager. City manager. They don't answer to the mayor. They don't answer to the council. They have no boss. That was their – go online. It's not – it's this is public document. Go on and find it and then come
right.
up on the show like
– If that
you
is
do,
true
– hold on, hold on,
that
hold,
is
on
true.
Hold on. You do this very well. You do this very well. You're very good with documents. So go online. Look that up. If you hit me after hours, I may be able to help you find it. And I want you to look through that and come back and tell me I was wrong. I'm
okay,
telling
that
you,
is true.
They sent these folks answer to nobody. So listen to me. If you, this is the policeman that when we was at a guy's funeral who they had shot 21 unarmed black men, go figure that out. Not one cop went to jail, okay? We was at his funeral, one of the boys' funeral, and a cop did a drive-by on the crowd, happened to hit a white lady. You know, when you hit a white lady, everything stopped. Had he just hit somebody black, wouldn't have been a problem. He hit a white lady that was a news lady, and that's all they needed. That mess soon was all across the country. These fools shot into a crowd of mourners. Don't you tell me about no morality and people obeying the Constitution and all that. People are people, man. They're great. They're wonderful. They're loving. They're kind. And they're vicious and evil and unpredictable and unimaginably wicked. Period. End of story. So what I'm saying to you is, if people like that, imagine a government. How do you think we're number one, Sarge? How do you think the United States became the world power? We either can come to world power through godly principles or through ungodly principles. Do you think these white people in the United States government?
Hold on.
Do you think these white people in the United States government is just that brilliant so that's why they're number one? Or do you think God has blessed them to be that way like we've seen? God shed his love on thee, or do you think it's just criminal?
Both. It's both the blessings of God and the brilliance of the founding. And that is to let each man essentially pursue, each person essentially to pursue happiness.
Okay, let
and
me ask you a question.
He choose to be self-evident. It's a combination of both. Blessings will be bestowed upon a country that does such a thing. And that's exactly what's happening. Now, we're straying from those constitutional principles, and I think we're going to begin to suffer for it. Not because of anything inherently wrong with the founding of the country and the principles upon which it is professed to be governed by, but with the fact that we are straying from those principles.
Listen, man, I'm going to tell you this, Sarge, and I just got a message from somebody in the chat room.
Shorty McGriff said, it is a known fact police put drugs in the community. They put people on bus bond to set up others and give the drug dealers large amount of drugs to set up other young brothers in the community. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, man. I'm from the hood. I don't
and
know
therefore,
the Trevor Spencer.
Hold on, Sarge.
Listen to me. I one time picked up a young lady, older lady, I should say. She was an older lady. And I was giving her a ride downtown Cincinnati. And I was saying, I heard the craziest thing, ma'am. You know, we were talking about the police. And I said, I heard that same thing that they did to that boy in New York, that actually some cops call themselves Mimic in New York, and they did it. She said, yeah, I heard that. I said, you believe that? I'm talking about Diablo, that when they put the thing up his rectum. And I said, you believe some crap like that? And she says, yeah. I said, oh, man, this lady went off on me. She was like, where have you been? Where do you live? She said, that's exactly what they do. I say, ma'am, come on, that is just way out there. She said, young man, I don't know how many friends of mine have told me that their daughters were able to get away from these wicked cops that picked them up for a little bit of nothing, saying that if they just give them a blowjob, they'll let them off the hook. And I said, are you kidding me? Then I started hearing other people say that, oh, yeah, that is a common thing. These cops will do that in a minute. They'll pick up these young girls walking, because, you know, there's a lot of people walking in Cincinnati like other cities, but especially downtown. And they'll pick up these young girls and say, look, you know, ma'am, I can't let you go. I got to take you downtown. You know, and a lot of these kids have stuff on them. Sometimes they don't have nothing on them. It's just some minor they might have did, you know, might even the tickets or something. But it don't warrant them, you know, being treated like this. She said there's so many people that complain. They was off the hook.
Listen, this means that you look at a typical police officer and you have to assume that he's an impending potential rapist. This is typical of police officers. This is what they are. Typically. I mean, this is what you expect when a police officer places you under arrest, puts you in a squad car. If you're a woman, you're likely to get raped by the police officer. This is what's to be expected. Or is this like an aberration? I'm just curious. I'd like to know.
Man, I'm saying this to you. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You cannot trust people, man. Listen to me. People house all types of spirits. I don't put nothing past nobody. Nobody. I don't trust them. Listen to me, Sarge, please. I don't trust anybody. Anybody, listen to me. Hold on a second. Listen, you can't trust anybody. You really can't. I mean, you you have to just be aware. Do things during the daytime. You have to practice safety. Don't matter if you're a woman or a male or female. Now, you can say what you want to say, but I don't want my daughters to experience the first time on the count. I'm saying America's great. You know, and they go somewhere and trust in some cop. I say don't trust nobody but the Most High. Be aware, be alert, don't be out at night. Do certain things, walk where there's public, you know. Listen, hold on, man. Let me get to that. You keep... Sarge, listen.
What's that got to do with the fact that you it seems to me as if you're saying that because some police officers do, in fact, commit crimes, some police officers do, in fact, keep drugs, some do, in fact, form liaisons with drug dealers for mutual financial benefit. Since some of them do this, this means it is typical of policemen to do this. This is the impression I'm getting from you. And
I'm
I know that's not so. Listen to me, please.
I'm saying, for one thing, pull yourself out of the suburbs. Number one, we're talking about in the hood policemen that's policed by whites, which I don't agree with that. Hold on, man. Let me get what I'm saying. Oh, I just got to put you on hold. You just don't listen. Okay, folks, we're talking about policing. This show is actually talking about the United States greatness. Is it great or greatly abominated? Is it great because of God has shed His love on thee, His grace on thee? Is it because of our Christianity and the Most High is just blessing us so because we're spreading the gospel around the world, like TBN say and Paul Christ? Just hold on a second, Sarge. I got you on hold for a second. Are we blessed because we
send all these missionaries. This is what I've been taught all my life in the church, is that we're blessed because of all these things we do for people, all these missionaries we send, and the Most High just blessed us. But when you look a little closer at it, when you really look at it, divorce is through the roof. The highest divorce rate probably of any country of its size, and it's higher in the churches than it is in the secular world. Did you know that? Our young people disrespect their parents more so than any other culture I can think of. We are dying like flies. I'm trying to upload this video once we get around to it, called Fed Up, and y'all really going to hear something. When you hear of what's going on with our diet, it is going to make you sick to your stomach to hear just how much of our diet is engineered. Okay? All of these things happening, we just somewhere just blindly waving the flag and hollering about how, you know, God shed his grace on thee. Has he really? Or is it that we take those big old tanks and thousands of young boys and girls and we sacrifice them at the altar of the one world government? Is it that we just go off in there and just take what we want? And then on some subtle, we have other subtle ways of becoming this great nation. We go into nations, African nations, where they have scholars. We get the brightest minds in Chad, the brightest minds in Nigeria, the brightest mind in Sierra Leone, the brightest minds in all of Africa, all of India, anywhere we can find top-notch people, and we court them, which is, somebody might say, well, that's not a bad idea. No, it's not a bad idea, but have we ever thought that those people might need their own scholars to help pull themselves up by the bootstraps? If everybody comes to America and we sitting up throwing things at them and find clothing and find cars and find universities, they ain't going to want to go back home. It's a game. There's a reason we're number one. How are we number one, people? Tell me. I mean, what are we doing to making these weapons? Okay, we make these powerful weapons, but what does it do to the environment to produce these weapons? What does it do to the environment to fly all of our thousands of planes over this airways on the planet trying to keep this dominance? What are we doing to the infrastructure of the planet? Y'all know the stats of how the United States causes more waste than any other country. What do we do about that? Just say, oh. Y'all know about the deforestation, if I'm saying that right, how we just go into the forest and just all of these billions of trees just to keep our way of life, all of this extra stuff we don't need. You pass by car lots with thousands of cars. What does that do to the environment to make sure that we keep all this excess, all this greed? So I'm going to bring on Sarge back in a minute. I hate to do that, but I'm just sick and tired of folks hollering about, and you know, yes, this is my home too, and I feel like I have a right to say something about my own home. I recognize great things that America does, but I mean, gee, if you're going around the world causing so much havoc on the world, you're almost obligated to give back. So I'm not impressed. Like people talk about Bill Gates, how he give. When I look at all that so-called people, white America has taken, I'm not impressed by Bill Gates' gifts. Yeah, but he gives so much, Seth. He don't have to do it. No, he don't. But, you know, if you ask Steve Jobs before he passed, you know, how do you really feel about Bill Gates and y'all's history? And, you know, you might have got a whole new Gates. I'm just saying, I don't know that I'm so impressed by her generosity. Yes, she saved a lot of whales, but she's also the number one killer of whales. I mean, I got some stats here. I got so much to tell y'all and share with y'all. It's just going to make your hair stand up on your head. I got this thing I'm going to share one of these Thursdays of all of the endangered species. And I promise you, when I read this, you are going to be done. You are going to be like, wow, thousands and thousands of species have we endangered, killed. No, some of them are no longer around. And mainly, who's the problem? United States. To preserve our way of life. Endangered. Some of them gone. I'm trying to find the stats now just to give you an idea. It's so much to talk about, so much foolishness. This is why I hear Sergeant. I know he loves this country, and he feels like it's the greatest country and all this, and I'm going to bring it back on out of respect for him, but I just really, really have a problem with what we're doing to the planet, what we're doing to who created the third world countries. How did they become third world? How did Africa become so poor? I bet you $1 million SARS does not know what a structure adjustment program is. Let's see if he knows. Okay, Sarge, I'm bringing you back. Sorry about putting you on hold, but I just had to be able to, you know, speak there. Do you have any idea what a structure adjustment program is?
No, I don't know what it is.
You wouldn't.
But I just like you to know that 85% of all junked automobiles are recycled. It is the most recycled machine on the planet. 85% of every car that is no longer on the road and sent to a junkyard gets recycled into making another product.
You know what, Sarge? There's something about you I really like, and I wish that I can put in a lot of people. And that is several things I like about you. You stand up for what you believe. I give you an A on that. Whatever you know, you tend to know it to the detail as far as what I at least think you know. Now, some things I don't think you know, but I'm just saying the Constitution, you're on that. Declaration of Independence, you're on that. It's almost like a bunch of white people took you somewhere and told you everything good about America and gave you a degree on it and sent you back into the planet. I guarantee you I can – just, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I guess I am. But I'm saying there's a lot of Sarges out there. They are brilliant people. Ain't no wrong with what you're doing. You're standing up for what you believe. But I just feel like you missed
They're not all white people, sir. They're Alan Keyes. They're Thomas Sowell. They're Walter Williams. And, yes, a lot of them were white people. But you know what? They're good Americans. And they understand American history and fact. And they taught me. And I learned. One of them's name was Tom Rose. He was a white man, a great American, a great patriot, a great mind, a learned man, a man with innumerable awards. He was a columnist and a radio talk show host, probably the greatest conservative in the history of the state of Illinois, if not the United States. And I learned immeasurably much about this country's greatness and the founding from him. I'm immeasurably grateful to him.
Sorry.
But he wasn't the only one.
I want you to go back to those people. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go back to those people, and I want you to ask them this question. And next time you see your colleagues, I want you to just say to them, listen, how did we ever get to the place to where we was producing this 1% that controls most of our wealth? Ask him who is responsible.
Hold on.
I'm very serious. I hope you're writing this down. Ask them what country is number one in pollution. Ask them what country is responsible. Hold on. Ask him what country is responsible for killing all type of species. Who kill more species of animals and reptiles, and who kills more than anybody? Who has endangered more than any other country? Ask them that, okay? Who killed more people over religion? We always think it's the Arab countries and the suicide bombers. Please. Man, this country has put so many preachers in their graves, so many Martin Luther Kings, so many all types of leaders like that. It ain't even funny. That Martin Luther King just get all the glory. I get tired of it. I love him, and I think he should get a lot of credit. But there are so many unknown kings that was killed and murdered in the backwoods because of their faith. The Bible says it like this in Revelation, and now this one not in Revelation 17, but in other parts of the Revelation, that this whore, Babylon, is responsible for killing the saints, the blood of the saints. It is Revelation 17. The waters is the blood of the saints. She is responsible. And when you start saying what country has murdered saints and religious people, you start thinking of, oh, that's some Arab country. No. There has been more bloodshed over Christianity than any other religion. They say Islam. I don't know about that. I doubt it. Because nothing has had the profound effect on the planet like Christianity has the influence. You know, we can talk about what's the guy from Holland, King Leopold. We can talk about him. Millions murdered at this one white man.
Belgium. That was Belgium.
Belgium. Okay, King Leopold. All I'm saying is that's just one man. But I can. There's so many thousands of Leopolds like that. That spirit of murder is all upon our country. There are so many people that can come on this line and say, oh, I know so many people that have died for speaking out and standing up for the Most High in this country. But yet, what do they say? In God we trust. So that's the wine. I got to play this. Check this out, everybody. I do this every show. Hold on, Sarge. Since you're just hanging on with me, you can just go ahead and just hang on with me. I got to play this. Y'all listen to this. This is Revelation 17. I know I play it a lot, but I want y'all to really listen. If y'all get nothing else, y'all going to know Revelation 17 from listening to Five Smooth Stone. But listen, they talk about a city, but if you keep listening to this, it can't be a city. It's too powerful. If all the nations of the world have waxed wealthy through her, it can't just be a city. Check this out, please.
Chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is. And the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, and chosen, and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes, and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth.
Sarge had to, he would hang up on that. But anyway, what I'm saying is this, folks. Y'all, let's please hear me out. The United States of America is my country. It's my home. It's all I know. It's all some of you know. And I'm not just sitting here talking about everything bad. I guess I am right now, but there are some good things. But I'm just saying, folks, I'm asking a question tonight. And y'all can talk to me in the chat room. If you're on the phone lines and need to ask a question, press 1. But I'm just saying, why is America so-called great? We just throw it around. What do we really mean when we say great? Great at what? Our children for sure is not the greatest morally in comparison. You really think we get more respect from our children than the Chinese do, or anybody, Africans, any African nation? It's none of Africans' cultures to disrespect their elders. Look at our children. Look at the way we dress? Look at the way we dress and look at other nations dress. Everybody's naked in the United States. Everybody shows their print and their cleavage and their nipples. Everybody. Do you really honestly think that they're coming to so their kids can learn how to dress? Is it coming to get our morals? Why are they coming? Why are they breaking their necks to come to this country? Is it for our morals or is it for the stuff? It's for the stuff. Why do we have so much stuff? God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy hood. What is all that? What does that really mean? Do you really think the Most High looked down in his blessing the United States because, as the TBN would have, PTL, Paul Crouch, Word Network, all these networks, they say we're blessed because we're preaching the gospel. Are we really? And that means that we're implying that other people is not preaching the gospel or the good news about the Savior. I mean, that's arrogance right there. But I don't think that's it at all. I think it's our military. We go around the world with CIA officials in every single election. We are influencing every single major election. If it's major and it's going to have effects on the whole planet, we are going to be there. And I don't think we should be there, but we're there. I had a friend of mine one time and said he just needed to get some things off his chest a long time ago. And he was sharing with me. He said, "Brother Seth, man, I just got to talk to somebody." I said, "Well, go ahead, let's talk." And he was saying when he was in the military that, and I hate Sarge Left. See, this is what I hate. These folks always run when you really got something. Now, here we go. Sarge, you still on the line? Call me back, please. This brother, he's still in the chat room, but I'm saying call me back. Anyway, so this brother in the military, and he says, "Brother Seth, I was one of the better shooters in my platoon. I was one of the, you know, the brighter soldiers, and I got drafted into this elite squad, kind of what, you know, y'all know as Delta Force." And I said, "Oh, okay, I know what that is." He said, "Man, make the long story short," he was very emotional over this, like he had to tell it to somebody. He said that they would sometime grab this group of elite young men, and they would have these choppers. And they picked them up all times of night. You know, tell them they could say 40, they can say, "Oh, 400 hours, or oh, 500 hours, let's go." And they have to go. And he said, we don't know where we would be at. We don't know what country we would be at. But we know it would be a little far away from where we was originated." And he said they would go into restaurants. And he said they would all be very familiar with this little seating chart. They would know exactly who they want. They'd go in the middle of the day. It didn't matter, and they would be in and out of there in less than a minute. They would go in and assassinate. He was hired to be an assassin. And he said whenever he would ask questions like, "Well, who was that guy?" they would always say the same answer. "What do y'all think they're going to say? What do y'all think they're going to say? Sarge is back. Let me see if he know what they're going to say. Sarge, you're back. Welcome back. What do you think What do you think they told that young man when he said to his superiors when he went on these missions assassinating people, when he said, "Who do we just kill?" What do you think they told that young man?
Who he just killed? You didn't know who he killed?
His conscience would begin to bother him because they would take him. He was one of the brighter ones in his platoon. They drafted him into this elite group, and they would get on these choppers, and they'd go. They would go on these night missions, and they would go into restaurants and just take people out.
What war was this?
It wasn't a war. That's what I'm telling you. This was like it would just be an operation. It was like a assassin.
But no one is drafted into an elite unit in the armed forces. Nobody.
Man, I don't know. Sarge, I'm about to let you go, man. Hold on, Sarge. You really honestly think that all the people in the United States is wearing crosses, all these people in the armed services is wearing crosses around their neck with Bibles in their left pocket, and they don't
drafted.
Do some covert
all
like
I'm
that?
Saying is they weren't drafted. Nobody is drafted into an elite unit. You got to pass the competition to get in these outfits is so high. They can
I'm skipping a whole lot of red tape. I don't want to spend an hour talking about it. I don't know what all he had to do, but I know they said they went to him and said.
You said it. There's no way you were drafted in an elite unit.
Listen, man, hold on. Let me just tell you the story. God is my witness. May strike me dead if I'm lying. I mean, I promise you, on my mother's grave, I'm not lying to you. This brother came to me and said, they came to me and asked me about being a part of this group. And he said, you would be, you know, we need you to help the country and blah, blah, blah. And he said, we're going. And he said, sometimes if they get shot, he said, man, they have the stuff they would give us. You wouldn't even feel it. You just got hit. And they could put this, whatever medicine they can inject you with something, probably Novocaine, I don't know. And he say, man, you wouldn't feel nothing. It'd be like you're not even shot. And there you are sitting there with a big old hole in your arm.
I used to do bomb damage assessment, long-range reconnaissance patrols. And we were issued methamphetamines so we could stay awake. Because we'd be out in the bush for like, 48, 2 to 3, 4 days straight. And you didn't get a chance to get sleep. So we got issues.
Okay, so what I'm saying, Charles, I want to
say
on point.
And it wasn't a secret. Wait a minute, it wasn't a secret. It's not like they were trying to keep it secret.
Okay, well, hold on. Stay with me. So the point is, hold on. So the point is this, y'all. I'm letting y'all know what America does, the things that it does, some of the things I believe it does to become great. Now, here was a young boy, mind his own business, went to the service. He was real good, and they drafted him into this. It wasn't by force. He did agree to it, but they asked him. They liked him. I can't imagine everybody trying to jump into it.
I'm sure I asked you what time frame this is because it just doesn't sound likely you'd get drafted into an elite unit.
Listen to what I'm saying. If I'm a general, I've never been in a service, but if I'm a general and I see somebody out there and they're firing and they hitting their target, I mean, bullseye, I'm going to be like, hey, yo, come over here. Let me holler at you. Come on now. Let me finish my story, man.
First of all, what unit did he say he was with?
Let me put you on hold for a second so I can finish my story because I'm sure the people want to hear this. So this brother came to me. I don't mean no disrespect, Sarge, but I got to get you the answer specific where I can keep on moving with what we're talking about. We're spending too much time on details, you know. I know beyond a shadow of doubt, without being in any form of the Army, that if a person is out there excelling, that he might be approached by superiors saying, listen, we got this going on, and I'd like you to – that just makes sense. So I don't know what you're talking about. But anyway, he told – what they told this young man when he said, I'm just curious, who did we just kill? Who did we just assassinate? At some point, he began to confront his superiors and say, who were these people? All they would ever tell him, folks, is these people are enemies of the state. Now, I'm asking you a question, those of you in the chat room and on the phone line. Do y'all really believe everybody that they put a bullet in was enemies? I mean, do you really believe that? Some of y'all, probably like Sarge, y'all been in the service, and they not going to tell y'all everything. Just because you went in the service don't give you an authority, or me not being in the service make me an authority of what they do covertly. You're going to have to be some high-ranking officials to know what the Army, Air Force, all these people do covertly. And I know by the spirit of me, just the spirit of the Most High inside of me. I know the nature of man. They will do anything. I didn't need CNN to tell me that the boys were over there in Iraq raping people. I just knew that that's the nature of men. If that's what they did in all the other wars, why wouldn't they do it in Iraq? Pretty girl sitting there, and there you are, you're horny, you ain't had been with no woman in a long time, you're over there in Iraq, you're disrespecting, you're angry with them, you're mad at them. And these women there, and you know all you got. Come on. That's just the nature of America. That's what they do. It's as common as apple pie and Chevrolet. Raping slaves, people that serve under you. Why is that so hard for folks to get their mouth wrapped around? But something happened when these folks go into the military. Not all of them. I'm sorry, if you want, I'll bring you on, if you don't mind. You know, I know I'm kind of, but I got to get this out. But I believe when they go to the military, you know how they all have to be in the same mind and they have to go through this extensive training. Somewhere in the process, they lose a conscious of what's really going on. Because I know some of these people in the military, We've been saying stuff for years, those of us that haven't been in the military that are out here protesting and trying to make a change. And these folks come out of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, they'll shout up and down these things are not true. And then when it winds up being true, they look stupid. Y'all the one got brainwashed. Y'all the one was told that this is America enough to where you could fight. I don't think I could ever go to the military because I don't think nobody can shake my mind into believing that America is something good to fight for. Not with the courses going on right now, maybe in the past. I doubt the past. It looks even bleaker, but maybe in the future. I'm asking the question today, how is America so great? What do they mean by so great? Great at what? Great at what? What exactly? Let's quit throwing that word out there. Like, I love you. People just throw it out there. What do you mean you say I love you? What do you mean when you say America is great? Great what? Great at doing what? Can't be our kids' attitude towards their parents. Can't be our marriages. Can't be our school systems. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine people coming over talking about they want to be a part of our math system? We're so far behind in math, it ain't funny. So what are they coming over here for? They're coming over here for that house, car, job, mall money. They're coming over for the stuff. So where does America, why come America have more malls and cars and houses and all that? What is it doing to the environment for America to have that? This is why I disagree with people like Creflo Dollar and a lot of these people saying that God wants us all super wealthy. Because the world cannot afford another USA spending the way we spend. If all of India decided tomorrow they was going to have the kind of houses we have and the kind of malls we have, and India became like the United States, and remember they got 1 billion people, by more than 3 times what we have, can you imagine what they would do to the planet? What if China say, hey, we want a piece of the pie too? We want, you know, split level houses and 2-car garages, and we want everybody, all our kids to have a car. We want to be a four-car family too. We want extra parachutes. We want 40 parachutes for our wives, 60 dresses. What would that do to the planet's infrastructure? If the United States is causing all this, and the scientists are saying that the planet can't take any more, what happens if you multiply that times 20? This is why I vehemently disagree that the Most High wants us all wealthy. I think he wants us all comfortable. I do agree poverty is of Satan, to not have enough. But I don't think that the Most High defines wealth based upon America's wealthy system. So all I'm saying is this. We're talking about freedom. The United States have this freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. I disagree with it. I don't believe in it. I don't think it's real at all. I don't believe in the freedom of speech. I think those of us that don't know much, have freedom to talk. Talk as much as you like, because everything is classified. What in the world? Why is stuff classified anyway? If it's the truth, it should never be classified. Why is everything classified? All these things that's happening, you know, how is black people always finding themselves on the bottom in every single aspect of America? Now, I know that the Most High have something to do with this and the whole calling of Israel and all that. I understand that. But I'm talking about a government right now that we say is number one, a country that we say is number one. I'm asking y'all, why and how is it number one? What's so number one about it? It's got the biggest military. Is that something to be proud about, that you take your citizens and you tax them and you take those tax money and you buy, you make these weapons manufactured super wealthy? You know, what's so great about having a giant military that will bust another nation upside the head and take what they want? I just don't get it. I don't understand it. But don't forget what we just listened to in the book of Revelation. Even if you think that's too old, some of y'all say, oh, the book of Revelation is too spooky, I don't understand it, it's irrelevant, it don't sound like our time, the stuff already passed. But even if you don't believe it's America, don't you think it's mighty strange in the book of Revelation, chapter 17, the Most High said those 10 horns were 10 nations. And he put it in the heart of those nations to hate this nation he was calling the whore, mystery, Babylon the Great. He raised up 10 nations, even if it already had passed, and I don't even think it had nothing to do with today, or if it's in the future. Don't you think it's strange that the Creator put it in 10 nations to hate this nation and to do everything to bring it down? That should make you, that should just cause your eyes to buck right now, whether you entered Revelation, don't believe in that. I mean, this, that's pretty out there, man. So we don't really know what is going on. A lot of nations, they've been saying that China is plotting against us. Some people say we're going to be invaded by China. I'm not even going that far. But I've had people on the show, and lots of people around the country is saying that we're going to be invaded by China. There's Chinese, a lot of thousands of Chinese soldiers right outside of Texas, and it's documented. It's documented that there are lots and lots of Chinese soldiers outside of Texas border. I ain't touching that right now. I'm just saying, even if they don't invade, that may be way out there for some of y'all, but just the fact that they was, if they demanded we pay the money we owe. I'm just saying there are nations, I believe, conspiring to bring this country down, but there's probably nations conspiring to bring other countries down, nations down. But this was big enough to make the book of Revelation, so this is not just a typical nation fighting against nations. This is a major nation he called the whore, Mystery Babylon. The scripture says in Revelation 17 that all the nations of the earth wax rich through her. Who could that be? People say Babylon is Iraq. No, no, no. The nations of the world have not waxed rich from Iraq. Nobody was this Cinderella flipper but the United States. Nobody can boast what Revelation 17 whore has done for the planet. Nobody can boast that but the United States. But yet the Most High said he was going to raise up these 10 horns that represent 10 nations that's going to come against her, and they was going to make her naked and destitute and going to burn her with fire. What in the world are we talking about tonight? Again, you're listening to Five Smooth Stones. This is the New World Watch, the New World Order Watch Society. We're watching the New World Order, trying to get a hand on what is going on our planet. Sarge, I haven't forgot about you. Please be patient with me. Just trying to make some points here. I got to nail some things down. I'm saying to y'all, somebody said China has the largest military. They probably do. But when you say who's the number one military, you say anywhere, everybody will say the United States. Who's the number one country? The United States. But I'm going to say this. I'm about to queue up this thing that's called Fed Up. Y'all got to go to YouTube or anywhere on the net and type in the word Fed Up. There was a documentary done on our diet, on the foods we eat, and how that almost all of the foods we eat is engineered. And I don't mean engineered in a good, healthy way where it's going to all help us. This stuff, they believe, is causing cancer. Y'all got to hear this. This is the kind of mess I'm tired of. And when folks sitting around, you know, talking about how great the country is and just blindly just supporting it, telling me it's the great, I just get sick to my stomach hearing this crap. You know, this is how I'm sure Hitler must have poisoned a lot of his people. Just keep talking about what's so great, what's so great. We got to look at these numbers. Why are our kids not graduating? So what the suburbs is putting out bright minds? How about if the hood and the suburbs did it? You know, I mean, I can name so much stuff, folks. We'll be here till next week if I start getting off into some serious things that not just is happening at home, but abroad that we're doing. We're like this giant, we're like a giant Godzilla going across the world just killing and destroying. Let me read to you something in the book of Joel, and I want y'all to tell me, who does this sound like? The book of Joel is going to say, talk about a nation that is going to exist, that there has never been a nation like it. I know y'all saying, what? The book of Joel is going to talk about a nation that exists. It says that there has never been a nation like this nation. And right there, that should get you to say, whoa, 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 hold on, what he's about to read. There has never been a nation like this nation. I want y'all to check this out and tell me, is this something that has passed, or is this something you think is coming down the chute? Listen to this. I don't care if you don't even like the Bible. I don't care if you're atheist. This is going to get you to flipping in your Bibles. If you got time, run and get it. Now, the Most High is warning his people, Israel. He is telling them, y'all better get ready. And he said, this nation that he is sending, that this wicked nation he's about to describe, he's sending it. Well, wait a minute. I thought God was peaceful and loving and kind. Not when people are disobedient. Not to the wicked. He is a storm. He is a hurricane. He is a tsunami. He is death to the wicked. But to the righteous, there is none greater than the Most High. Listen what he tells his people Israel. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and a thick darkness. Now, let me just stop here and tell you something. Half of the church believe what I'm reading right now is a righteous army. This is how confused a lot of the churches are. They think these people I'm about to describe is a nation. Matter of fact, there is a song that says they rush on the city, and it's talking about this army. But you're going to read, if you listen and listen, you'll hear that this is a wicked army. They're going to destroy. But most churches actually sing songs that this is a righteous people. But I know y'all think all this at Bible stuff is spooky. No, 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 no. This is about to sound like 2011. They're going to describe the United States. Watch this. A day of darkness. Right there tells you it's not a good day. And of gloominess. Right there tells you it's not a good day. A day of clouds and a day of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountain, a great people and a strong, there hath not ever been the like. Neither shall be any more after it. So whoever these people are, there's never been no people like them. Never. There will be no nobody after them. Watch this. There hath not ever been the like. Neither shall be any more after it. Even unto years of many generations. So many generations will come before they see this again. A fire devoured before them, and behind them a flame burning. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Watch this. Here we go. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Okay, what have we read so far? That there is going to be a nation. Somebody said, well, this is Bible, it's old, it's ancient. But still listen. I mean, we say that the United States is a bad boy. Could it be this is the United States? Listen, I'm about to read something that's going to really go. I know I halfway got your attention right now, but in the minute you're going to be saying, where is my Bible? I got to see that. It says, and nothing shall escape them. What nation can say nobody escapes us? The appearance of them is as horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire, they devour the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Now, obviously, they can't do those things, but it's just typology, meaning they are that strong. Before their face, the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness or sadness. verse 7. I'm reading from Joel 2. I'm on verse 2 and 7 right now. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like mighty men of war. And they shall march everyone on his ways. Watch this. Who does it sound like? And they shall not break their ranks. They're going to work together. Africa is disqualified right there. This people is going to work together. They won't break ranks. And yet they're going to take over the whole world. Nobody's going to escape them. Who can say we are this people? Verse 8, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. You take this part of Africa, I'll take that part of Africa. There ain't going to be no bickering. Who can say this? And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. It's like they just keep coming, keep coming. They shall run to and from the city, and they shall run up the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. Who can say that truly the planet quakes before us? The heavens shall tremble, and the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Basically saying there are some powerful folks. Now watch this, folks. This verse 11 floors me every time I read it. These wicked people, listen what verse 11 says. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Good night. Most Christians, most believers that I know, they can't believe that scripture right there. They don't even want to read that. The Most High does use wicked folks. He'll destroy them in the end, but he does use wicked people. Now, that's only Satan. I'm going to read that again. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, and he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? In other words, who is going to be able to escape this? Nobody. My friend, we're talking about the United States of America. There is nobody that can escape. Gaddafi thought he could. I'm going to fight you to the end. Okay. And I think he was good for Africa. He's gone. Saddam, waving that sword. These people take you out going and coming. They get the whole world with propaganda. Even Bush with his crazy stuff, even spilled the beans one time and says, we're going to come at you with propaganda. He even said, I couldn't believe a president said that. We're going to come at you with propaganda. Then they start dropping little leaflets out of the sky in Iraq on the people for the people to read stuff that they were saying about Saddam Hussein. People start believing the lie and start teaming up with the United States, and that caused them to tumble. Anyway, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your hearts. Escape these folks. This is the only people that's going to escape. Turn ye to me with all your heart, and with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Brother Seth, what is the solution for this America and the New World Order and all of these things? We can't, our diet is engineered. We can't even eat real food. They say 1 out of 4 of us is going to get cancer. 1 out of 4? Are y'all sure y'all didn't get that wrong? You mean to tell me if 4 people walking down the street, 1 of them going to get cancer? 1 out of 4 of us supposed to get cancer. The water is polluted. Our education is tainted. We all know nothing about who we are as a people. Our gospel, when we say, okay, I'm tired of acting a fool, I want to do right, and we go to church and just sit down, take our hats off, bow our heads, and say, I'm just an old sinner, okay, now I want to do right. Even when you go to the church and you say, I'm ready, they give you poison. There is no hope for you folks unless you turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting and weeping and with mourning and rend your heart. Give me your heart and not your garment. I don't need your garment. I need your heart. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger. He really is. He really is. He don't reward us like he should. He's slow to anger. He's a good father and of great kindness and repenteth him of the evil. He'll turn away. He'll back up. He'll back up. He'll say, I'm going to do this. And then turn your hearts. He'll back up. Verse 14. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even meat offering and drink offering unto... Then he goes on to say, verse 15, basically said, blow a trumpet in Zion. And say, I'm just skipping around. Y'all have to get to read this whole thing. I didn't mean to turn it into a Bible study. But look, verse 20, check this out. It tells you where this army come from. I told y'all. Y'all think I'm just messing with you. I told y'all. Verse 20. But after they repent, verse 14 to 18, let me just go ahead and read that because some of y'all need to repent anyway. Who know? Blow you the trumpet in Zion, sanctify fast, call an assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of his closet. Now, I know some of y'all saying this for Israel, but if any people repent and seek the Most High, he will have mercy upon them. They may not get everything Israel get, but they will be spared. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over us. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is thy God? Verse 18, I know I'm talking moving fast, but I want to get down to verse 20. I'm going to drop a bomb on y'all in a second. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. See, he always do that. Like a lover, you know, you start apologizing to her, tell her how wrong you was, and then she feels sorry. The Most High pity his people. Don't think he won't pity you. Of course he will. Just repent. Return to him. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn. This is the Most High answering them after they repented. Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. I'm going to send you something, you're going to be satisfied. So will he do it for you, listener. And I will no more make you approach among the heathen. I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Now listen to verse 20. Who were these people? Who are these people, Seth? The Most High is now rewarding his people, is healing them. But who was that masked man? Who were those people that came? And the Bible said before them it's like a Garden of Eden, but after they done a wilderness, nobody's going to escape them. Seth, do you happen to know who they were? Verse 20. This is the Most High still talking. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and I will drive him out to the land of the barren and desolate, and with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder parts toward the utmost sea, and his things shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he has done great things. In other words, the Most High is going to put down those that came from the north. Oh, Brother Seth, we're like one guy. So you're just switching the scriptures around. Okay, watch this. I don't mean to turn this into no Bible verse. But look, Bible study, but watch this. Jeremiah 1:14, I'm not going to read it. But he's talking to Israel, and he's telling them who's going to oppress them. He said, I'm going to send all of the nations from the north. Y'all think I'm just making this up, don't you? The Most High said in Jeremiah, it don't matter whether the Bible's talking about some in the past, the Most High said, I am going to send all of the nations from the north. Listen, verse 15. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north. For lo, I will call all of the families of the kingdoms of the north. What's north of Jerusalem? He was talking to his people, Israel. What's north of Israel? Europe? Spain, Great Britain, the continent of Europe, Germany, all of that is Russia, all of that is south of north of Israel. Verse 15, for lo, I will call all of the families of the kingdoms of the north. For lo, I will call all of the families of the kingdoms of the north. Some people don't get that. The Most High is saying everything north of y'all is going to come down to y'all as a punishment. That's how Jerusalem and all that area became so whitened. You got millions of people. Y'all, you, somebody said, you talking about the Crusades? Yes, I'm talking about the Crusades. But I'm talking about even before they call them Crusades, the people came from the north. Have you ever noticed the north part of the globe dominates the south? All the poverty is in the south. The Most High said he was going to call these people from the north. They're his army. They're his army. Well, wait a minute, Seth. Ain't they wicked, though? Ain't they doing wicked? The Most High called these people because his people was knuckleheads. So he called the enemy, the heathen, to come and beat up on them. Then at the end, he knocked them out of the way. He uses them. We all pawns in the game. So who is this country called America? Who is she? How does she become great? Why is she great? We're not great morally, folks. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by nobody that's done served as president or served as congressman or served as anybody lying to you, telling you how great we are. We're greatly wicked. We're greatly crafty. We come in. The Bible talks about your enemies coming with words as smooth as butter. Y'all know that scripture? I ain't going to look it up. Well, yes, I am. But I'll keep talking. But the Bible talks about the enemies coming, and their words were smooth as butter. That's the way the United States is. They know the easy way. They'll have you. They do it with class. The Arab countries, they're not as slick. They got to do stuff rough. You know, United States make you feel like, oh, you got freedom of speech. Go ahead. I got blog talk. I got Facebook. I know for a fact the United States government is monitoring Facebook. I'm not crazy. Well, why do you talk on Blog Talk? Why do you talk on Facebook? Why do you? Because it's too many of us. They don't have enough people to watch all of us. And even if they did, sometimes you just got to be willing to die. Psalms 55 and 21. Psalms 55 and 21 talks about how the enemy come and their words were smooth as butter. Remember, this is Israel talking about their oppressors. Words, their speech, it says his speech is as smooth as butter. Smooth operates like Bill Clinton, smooth. Just have you in love with that man right there. Can, woo, it's smooth like Barack, President Barack Obama. I should say, like I've said about everybody else, president. Let's use president. President Obama. Verse 21 says, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter. Watch this, watch this. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. That, my friend, is the United States that I know. I don't know what Sarge is talking about. In all due respect, Sarge is intelligent. Brother can hold his own. I don't know what he's talking about. I feel like a lot of times when people go into the military, they got to go through all this under this training. I'm going to let him defend himself. I've had him on hold long enough. But I feel like a lot of people go to the military, and I met them. They come back and they just pro-America. You got to understand war is war. You're trying to tell me that the Vietnamese, when they go to their army, they already don't tell them that their country is great? If I ask Sarge who blew up Twin Towers, I guarantee you he's going to probably say Bin Laden. When everybody that's thinking, especially those that saw this movie, Loose Change, Loose Change, L-O-O-S-E, Loose Change, like Loose Change in the Pocket. They have a free movie on the internet where they give all documents, all proof. I mean, they gather all this information and prove what happened on 9/11. Let me ask Sarge if he know about Loose Change. Sarge, I really do apologize, man, but I have got this to have my show. I got to stick with what the show is about, and I felt like it was going off. I didn't mean to put you on hold so long, but if I didn't like you, I wouldn't let you stay on and keep coming back to you. So have you ever heard of Loose Change, my brother?
Absolutely.
What do you think of loose change?
And I have debated people about loose change and all of its inaccuracies, misrepresentations, and refutations.
Oh, my God.
I mean, look, you could cite it, but you better be prepared to defend it, because believe me, I am not going to accept its premises.
Okay, well, hold on. What do you think about in loose change in the movie when they have these firemen inside of the building? I mean, this is 911. There ain't no movie. These people was running around dying and scared. Fear was everywhere. And these firemen was inside of the building when it collapsed. No. They hadn't collapsed yet. And they kept hearing stuff. And the firemen would say, "Sir, there it goes again, another explosion." Every time they said the word explosion, they made a note of it in the movie, in the documentary. And they said, "Sir, there's going to get another explosion." He said about four times to this captain, "Sir, there goes again another explosion." What do you have to say about that, Sarge? Was that Hollywood?
The fact that explosions are going on in a building with innumerable combustible volatile substances in it that are probably catching fire and going is not a surprise to me at all. I've been at fire scenes where explosions were going on because I was called there to assist the firefighters, and there were explosions going on at the fires in the building. Why should we not think a building of the immensity, complexity, with the innumerable types of substances you find in a building of that nature would have explosions? And this is supposed to be something that's startling and something that indicates a conspiracy that George Bush ordered an attack on the Twin Towers. Oh, please. They're appropriate.
Hold on. What do you think of Hitler? They're propane tanks in the restaurants that were exploding because they were catching on fire and blowing up. Sarge, if you talk a little lower, you can hear me when I say hold on, and I don't really appreciate saying hold on 15 times. So just we hear you. Just calm down a little bit. We can hear me when I say hold on. Now listen, I want to ask you a question, and you know about Hitler. That's what he did with the Reichstag building. That's documented. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, no. Now, you're stating a premise of historical fact that is not proven. Yes, there is strong evidence that the Nazis were behind the Reichstag fire, but there's also evidence that they just took advantage of something that happened.
Okay,
so historians have not come to a firm conclusion.
Let me ask you something, sir. Do you believe in the Tuskegee Institute, the Tuskegee experiment with the black men, yes or no?
That's yes, what I'm aware of what happened.
I want to see
yes,
where you're at with American history. Tuskegee Institute, yes or no, did it happen to black men or not?
Well, it's rather what you say happened. Now, what do you say happened to the men of Tuskegee? But what would you say it was? What do you say it was?
Okay, listen, this is what I want you to do, Sarge. I'm not trying to be controlling. I just want some shorter answers because I want to move a little fast. Sarge, I want you to tell me, do you believe, yes or no, that those black men were injected with syphilis to see how they were?
No, they weren't. That's not true.
Thank you.
That is not true.
Sarge, I can't keep you. Man.
No, I don't agree with that.
Sarge, I don't agree. Listen, hey, Sarge, it's okay. I don't need documents of why. Right now, I just want to know if you believe it or not.
I said it's not
believe,
true that injected them with syphilis. That is not true.
Okay, I heard you. We heard you, my brother. You don't have to keep talking. Just say that's not true. Let me ask you something else. Do you believe that there was a lot of men lynched, tarred and feathered, hung on trees, and whites sit around with their kids like it was a picnic, and watch these black men hang on trees? Do you believe that?
Yes, that happened, and the Tuskegee Institute documented them, documented the occurrences.
Why are you talking about Tuskegee? I'm talking about black men hanging. We got 90 seconds now. Listen, folks, if y'all want to stay tuned to the show.
Hold on.
Folks, if you want to keep listening to this show, you have got to call. We've got to get busy here. So we're going to let this show run over tonight. So call 760-283-0838. Right there, that number should be on your screen somewhere. On my screen, it's on the left, but may not be on yours. But call that number because
I thank you for those that notes, my friend. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. I see it. Sarge, what I'm saying to you, well, hold on. Let me finish. Folks, please call that number. Otherwise, I'm going to lose you in about 1 minute or 30 seconds. So please call the number. I would love for y'all to hear what we're about to talk about. I'm about to ask Sarge some more questions, and this is going to get very interesting. Please call the number on your screen so we can continue. All right? Thank y'all for listening anyway and following the show, though. Really appreciate that. We have lots of people that follow the show, and so I really appreciate that. So call the number when you can. And those that want to comment, go ahead and press 1 on the phone. I'm going to let Sarge finish what he was saying. And peace to you, my brother. Shorty McGriff, appreciate you, my brother. I like your comments, just couldn't get around to them, but I really appreciate that. Anyway, folks, let me bring Sarge back. Okay, Sarge, I just had to say it because we're about to lose quite a few people. All right, now, hold on. I'm asking you questions. That's how we ended. I'm asking you questions because I want to see exactly where you stand, Sarge. That's going to tell me a lot about you.
It was, but they did not inject them with syphilis.
Hold on, Sarge. I don't want to know what happened. I just want to know if you believe
that
what they said.
I just want to know right now.
I just want to know what they say happened. Do you believe it? You say no, I don't believe that. I want to know exactly what happened. Listen, Sarge. Right, Sarge. Right now, I don't want to know what you think is what happened.
I know what happened according to the historical record. I do know what happened.
Listen, Sarge. Understand the art of what I'm doing. Even if you know, I don't want to talk about that right now. You just let everybody know that you don't believe what they say. You believe something else happened. You got proof and you're okay, fine. Maybe you do. I don't think you do, but you probably do. Listen.
I do. I got the participants.
Hold on. If you do, you do. But right now, I can't afford to hear it. Right now, we got to move on. Now, if you can't follow me, I got to just disconnect the call, man. I got to mute you or something because I got to move on. And you're trying to tell me what really happened.
No. What Dr. Eugene Dibble said, Eunice Rivers, who was a nurse there, Dr. John Heller, Dr. Raymond Vonderland.
Sarge, are you talking about that experiment again?
Yeah.
I'm not on that right now.
Because I think the truth is important, don't you?
I'm not talking about this show. It's not about the Tuskegee. I'm just going through a list of things, and I'm asking you, what do you believe about it? I've got about nine more things to ask you.
Well,
I can't get to the nine more things.
Sure. We do.
That's it. That's enough. I had enough. You know, I just feel like this, folks. I'll maybe go back to him in a second, but I got to stay with my focus. I wanted to ask him, and asking some of you, too, that feel like Brother Sarge, if there's anybody that feel like Brother Sarge out there. I'm sure there is. I'm trying to see exactly what this brother believes. Because I got a feeling Sarge is one of those brothers that has close relationships with a white person. Maybe he's married to a white lady, I don't know. Or maybe he's having a white family. But when I hear this kind of talk, normally it's because somebody is not open. Even when I hear white people saying this and I ask them, are you around blacks a lot? Or do you know our pain? You don't have to know everything about black people to be right. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying sometimes what I try to do is I try to listen to both sides. I'm forced to know what white think because I'm in a white world ran and run predominantly in this country by Caucasian. So I have got to know the history of the United States. They don't even teach me history of people that look like me. We're drafted sometime in their army. We know how they feel. We know what they think. We know what they taught. We know how they look at history. But when you say, how do
Do you know how I feel? Do you know how we look at history? They are oblivious. A lot of white people are oblivious to what black people's true history is and the true history of the world is. And I have issues with people like Sarge. And come on the station, and he is a very, I think he tries well, but I just have this one issue with him. Other issues I don't have with him, but it's okay if you're wrong, if you're right or wrong, whatever, but I know I'm a little bossy at times, but I'm only like that with Sarge. If y'all know me, normally I let people just talk, but when I say hold on a second, you got to hold on. I don't care what you're saying. You got to hold on because it's not your show. You got to hold on a second. But if you're just going to keep talking, and I can never get it, you know, I know I'm getting words here, but I'm just saying, all I ask him is just hold on. If I ask you a question, answer the question. Right now we're not talking about the Tuskegee. I don't want to know right now what he think really happened. I just want to know, do you believe that those black men? Because guess what? Lots and lots of whites and blacks do believe that those men was mistreated. They was mistreated. Tarred and feathered. Hangings, yes. He probably said there wasn't that many of them. You know, some kind of way he has, I believe, he thinks a lot like our white brothers and sisters, which is nothing wrong with that, because some of our most brilliant people in this country happens to be white. So I don't mind him thinking like whoever. But when I go to challenge it, you know, anyway, I don't want to talk about Sarge. The show is not about Sarge. He's a good man. I hope he continues to call. I'll probably go back to him on the phone now here in a second. I hope he's not offended by nothing I'm saying. I really respect him because everybody don't care to research things the way Sarge do. So he gets some points for that. All I'm saying is there is a reason there's so much death and decay in the United States. And you can be patriotic all you want. But you know what? Those Arab, there's a billion people over in the Arab world, and if you think all of them people are just stupid, ignorant, worshiping a false god like a lot of Christians do, and you don't pay them no mind, that is foolishness, and you'll never, ever be truly educated. You have got to listen to those people. They are older than we are. That's grandma over there talking. We're the new nation. We're the baby nation. We're the nation that really don't have no spiritual reason to exist. I mean, founding fathers, my foot. I mean, these people are saying they are living because of the Quran. You know, they live by that book. That spiritual book is a foundation of moral. It's a moral foundation. You can't put no constitution up against even no Quran. And I'm not even a Muslim. I'm not a Muslim. But unless you got a holy book, like, even though I may not be a Muslim, I respect the Quran in that it was Muhammad's way of cleaning up the church with these laws he felt like that he got from the Most High, and I respect anybody that say, you know what, I got problems with the church. I'm going to, you know, and then you say the Most High did this, he's showing you a better way. I don't necessarily agree with everything in the Quran because I don't really know a lot. But what I've seen, I do agree with, okay? So what I've seen, I do agree with. I mean, love thy neighbor. How can you fight something that says love thy neighbor, do unto others you haven't done? It's just like the Bible. But America, on the other hand, coming over here with this Constitution, and they make it like we really truly live by it. We don't. Nobody live by no Constitution. We just say that. If there was Constitution, if we were living by the Constitution, there wouldn't be no racism. We never went to no Jim Crow and all that crap. So I'm not trying to hear no by no Constitution. It's a great document. Great documents, hell, put them up on your wall. That's what you do, the great documents. But don't try to make like it's just a part of our life. No, it's not. All kind of crooked people get off with good lawyers. And don't get me started with this decadent place, this decadent society. And and then there's a lot of whites, and I'm just going here. I've got to go here. But there's a lot of people that allow black people, you know, like when I didn't know stuff, a lot of white people let me walk around ignorant. And then when I finally found out who I was in the history of the Bible and how the Bible was full of dark-skinned people, dust-colored people, we'll keep it politically correct according to the scriptures. God made men of the dust of the earth. Most High made men of the dust of the earth. When I started understanding that I'm a dust-colored person, and I started researching, then whites start telling me, well, you didn't know that? I always knew that. Why is it you never said it? You know I was studying history. I told you I studied Bible history. And you know I've said I've often wondered what color was Christ. Why come when I found out what he looked like, you want to say, yeah, you knew it all along? A lot of these people are deceptive. They are deceivers. And I'm going to say this. It's going to be very harsh, but I'm going to say this. A lot of these people are nothing more than agents of the enemy. You know, they're agents of the enemy. I know a lot of white people that was my friend. And when it all was said and done, I look back over my life, all they ever was a big minus sign walking with me all along. They minus me all the time. In other words, as long as they was my friend, I could never accomplish what I was supposed to be in life because some of these people were very smart. Like I said, they knew things that I didn't know. And it's a shame when you have black friends and you know that they are really in love with this country and you don't take the time out to share with them, you know what, we ain't all that. Or you hear people talking about how good, you know, I noticed people that started dating like a black girl, talking about how great this white guy was. And instead of the white brother saying, you know what, we just like all other men. Men is men, baby. It ain't because I'm white, I'm better than you. This black man out there can be just as good. They watch out your brother or your sister, because maybe your wife, but she's still your sister. They watch your sister walk around in ignorance, believing that it's better to have a white spouse. It's better to have a white spouse than it is a black spouse. That some kind of way you got a better world, and their world is superior, and their thoughts are superior, and their morals are superior, knowing that that is not true. People are just people. White people have done some unimaginably evil things, and so have black people. But when it comes down, remember when I talked about five smooth stones, I told y'all five smooth stones is five answers I got from the Most High when I asked them five questions. I asked the Most High five questions, and I got five messages from those five questions. One of the questions were to the Most High, is, Father, I don't care what color Christ is. Right now, I do think he's blonde hair and blue eyes, but I don't care what color. It's not going to change my relationship with you. But out of curiosity, were anybody in that book, did anybody in that book look like me or look like basically black people? It was just a heart cry from a father to a son. I wasn't trying to jump on no black-white thing. I really wasn't. This family of mine, they still have a white image. We are not. Black folks have proven over and over and over again that we have no problem with no black Jesus or with no black Yeshua or with no black Yahshua. A black son of God, the Most High, whatever you want to call it. We have proven we don't care. But I tell you who haven't proved it. White people. They are fighting this message tooth and toenail. Why does it matter what color? We only say color to show up lies, deception, trickery. Somebody said, well, okay, we see he black. Let's move on. No, let's not move on. Why did y'all do that? Why did you go all over the planet showing him to be something he wasn't? Why are you so deceptive? Why did you do that? If you don't know why people do what they do, you're bound to get tricked again. What was the purpose of white supremacy, making sure billions of Bibles are printed looking like Europeans? Why? Yeah, well, we don't do it no more. Now we know truth. But why did you do it? You got to understand that, folks. So I come against white supremacy. And America being great is nothing more than a part of that white supremacist mind frame. I'm not pro-America. I'm pro-planet. I'm for the planet, not for no one country. We'll do anything we can to promote the country and the liberty of America. No, I do everything I can to promote the liberty of all people. The Most High never told us to join ranks, put all our morals and all our efforts and what's the word I'm looking for, in preserving one country, one ideal, especially people that have a long history of mistreating black folks. So, Sarge, I hear you, but I think you've been lied to. And I don't know, you know, I just think you've been lied to. And I know it's not fair for me to sit up and call your name like this, but I'm just listening to you. And I was going to ask you about 9 more questions that would really, really would have showed everybody what I'm really trying to get at. Because I know the mindset. I have people that, you know, have expressed some of the things she's expressing, and they just love this country. The country can do no wrong. It's great. And just out of just flat out straight up history, Bible said there's nothing under the sun. So even if America was great, 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 that means it ain't the first one that was great. What was great before it? How come I never hear about Africa from Sarge? How come I never hear about the great African civilization? He said, well, we don't hear nothing about Africa, probably because they ain't got no drama. I mean, not European, American kind of drama. They have drama. But I'm just saying, it's something wrong with our history. Like my wife is finishing up her schooling, and she's going to school, and she's going to be graduating here soon, and she was very upset with the whole history program because she noticed in history, basically Africa is ignored. How can you tell the true history of the world and ignore a whole continent? Somebody answer that question. If I have a child, and that child is a child, and that child is a child, and that child is a child, and let's say the last 3 children tell all the history just about them, and they never mention me and the 6 children between me and the 6 children before them, how can that be education? You know what that is? That's white supremacy. And a lot of these people graduating with their nose in the air, that's what they are, white supremacists. They know nothing of true history. They know nothing of the world contributions to the earth, Africa's contribution to the planet. I keep saying Africa, Africa, Africa. Africa is grandma and grandpa. Seems like all history classes should start off talking about Africa for like the first 6 months. Maybe your first 3 classes should be all Africa. Then you move on to baby Europe. And while you're at it, the whites weren't even the first people in Europe. Anyway, I want to go back on the phone lines and now, because I really like, I really don't believe in disrespecting anybody, and I feel like I haven't said a few things about Sarge, and I want him to be able to defend himself. That's just out of respect and the righteous thing to do. So, Sarge, you are back on the line. I do want to ask you something. The thing I just mentioned, I want you to talk about some of what you just heard.
Okay, specifically, what I just heard, Seth, and I would like, look, this is your show. You know I accept that completely, absolutely, and utterly. Yeah, I may be speaking sometimes. I'm not quite here with you. Because you're right, I am kind of obstreperous and a bit boisterous. I might not hear it, but I utterly, completely, I'm a capitalist. If you own it, you run it. It's your show. You run it the way you see fit. I will never object to that, ever, and I don't. Now, when we were talking about Tuskegee, and I don't want to talk about Tuskegee either, but you asked me a question. Do I believe that black men were injected by the government with syphilis?
No,
I do not. I am certain of it.
Now I'm talking about
that. So the answer to that question is no. Now, but had you said what you said earlier, were black men mistreated in the Tuskegee experiment, I would have agreed with you because they were. You see, I don't accept the notion of a black truth and a white truth. I read widely, as many sources as I can, sources that agree with me, sources that disagree with me, to attempt to get at the objective truth as best as it can be humanly determined. That's all I'm concerned with. I'm constantly arguing and going against white people. In fact, probably way more white people than black people, because I don't agree with them. But I'm not going to agree with them, disagree or agree with them on the basis of the color of their skin, no matter what they say. I disagree with what they say, and that goes true for black people, too. There is no white truth or black truth, as far as I'm concerned. There's a truth, and it's hard to objectively determine that truth because we ain't objective. I sure as hell ain't. I'm biased. I freely admit to it. I am biased in the favor of the United States of America. I'm not a citizen of the world. I'm not particularly concerned about Africa or Europe. I'm an American.
Let me ask you some questions.
I wish them well.
I want to ask you some questions.
But I'm not a native. I'm not into them.
I want to ask you a question.
I want to know about them, but I'm not them. I'm not a Belgian.
I want to ask you a question.
I'm not a Congolese or Sudanese.
Sarge, I want to ask you some questions. And if it's possible, if it's possible, if it ain't, I understand. But I want some yes, no questions. They're pretty simple questions, like, no, I don't believe it. Here's what happened. No, I don't want to know. I just want to know if you believe the way it is on the table that I put it. What do you think of slavery?
Evil institution is good that the West abolished it.
Okay. Now, why do you think white people enslaved black people so long?
Actually, they didn't. In the span of historical time, it was a relatively brief interregnum. Certainly in the Western Hemisphere of the United States, it was really relatively brief. Certainly not compared to the number of whites that have been enslaved for hundreds and thousands of years by other whites.
Hold on a second. You say what now?
White slavery of black Africans was relatively brief. I didn't say brief. I said relatively compared to the enslavement of whites by other whites. The very word slave stems from the word Slav.
I understand it, but listen to me. What I'm saying is U.S. type of slavery where men was raped by men, where women was raped, forced to, where families was put apart, where people were tarred and feathered, where they was hung up on trees. Huh?
You said so long. In historical terms, it was very brief.
Here's my question. First of all, do you believe it was tarred and feathered? Yes or no?
Were blacks tarred and feathered as slaves?
Yes, some were, but that was usually a punishment reserved
for government officials.
Okay. Let me ask you another question. Do you believe when we are taught history that it should start off with Africa, since most scientists agree that civilization started in Africa?
I believe you start with world history where you intend to start with the history of that region. If it's in Africa, that's where you should start.
What I'm saying is if a kid comes into class and he knows nothing of history, he knows nothing of history other than he just walked in the room, that's history because it just happened. But he don't know any history. And you're about to introduce him to world history. Where do you think he should start?
You should start at the beginning of history. History is that which is transmitted either orally or in a written language, and you should start there.
Okay. Probably with the first civilization. Hold on. Sorry, hear me out. What history?
I didn't answer the question.
What history should he start with?
You should start where history starts. If the earliest oral tradition of history you can find is in Africa, you start there.
So you believe it should start with Africa?
You should start where the earliest history is. It's always subject to revision because it's really hard to find early aspects of history. You kind of got to dig down to get it. And since not too many African civilizations had written history, that makes it much more difficult. Relying on griots, I suspect, the human mind is not as unchangeable and fixed as either putting it down in hieroglyphic tablets or writing it down on some sort of parchment. Or some sort of tablet or stone.
Do you believe it's fixed, immutable, and unchanging? Do you believe that civilization started with Africa?
No.
Okay. Where did civilization start at?
I believe it started in the Euphrates in the Middle East. Well,
okay.
What is now a region of Iraq? Civilizations mean cities, yeah. I think that's where it started.
I got you. Do you believe that brown skin people, as most scientists say, and they do mean most scientists, I mean any biology class you walk in is going to say this, but do you believe it, that black is the dominant gene? Black skin, dark hue people is the dominant gene.
No.
Okay, so do you believe white is the dominant gene?
I believe some traits are recessive. Blue eyes are certainly recessive, but most people in the world don't have blue eyes. That includes Caucasians.
That didn't answer my question. I'm saying to
no,
you...
No, I said I don't. I said I don't believe it's dominant.
What I'm saying to you, sorry.
Brown eyes are dominant. Brown eyes are dominant.
Okay. What color do you believe Adam and Eve were?
I don't know.
I know none of us was there to where we could say, I know for sure, but what do you believe?
I don't know. I don't think anybody does. That's why.
I'm not asking about anybody. I'm asking about Sarge. So you don't know.
I don't know. I just said, I don't know.
Okay. Let me ask you this. If a dark-skinned person, the darkest-skinned person you can find in Africa, mixed with the whitest person in Europe, what color would the baby come out?
A mixture of the two parents, more likely than not.
Okay. Now, if that baby mixed with more dark-skinned people, like the planet was, because white people always been the minority, and now they, after killing almost a planet full of people in the Middle Passage, some argue 200 million, South America.
Oh, Mexico. That's nonsense. That's nonsense.
Hold on. Ain't no reason to be yelling. Just talk slow. I'm right here. If you disagree, fine. Some people say 100 million. Some people say 200. I don't know. But it don't matter because my point is I can still get a whole planet full of people that have been killed by the hands of Europeans. I can literally create a whole planet. It's 7 billion people on the planet. If you get your calculator out and I start talking about all the numbers, we probably can get close to at least 5 billion. I'm saying had those people lived and they had children, and their children had children, and their children had children, and their children had children. And now let's subtract all these people because a lot of them are going to die from the early birth and all this stuff, you know, and just subtract the amount, the regular amount of people that would have died. There'd be so many non-white people on this planet. We would not be having this conversation about white because we'd be trying to find them. We always forget that. I call that balancing the population. I teach on that. That's another thing in my archives. Some I call balancing the population. If we put all these people back that have been unjustly murdered, whites have lost numbers. Yes, they have, but they have not lost the kind of numbers
half of them during the plague in the 14th century.
All I'm saying is, whatever a number you come up with, white people dying, I guarantee you, for everyone. I don't know the exact numbers where I can make this statement, but all I'm saying is I'm sure any scholar I go find, ones that I don't even like, will say, yeah, I agree with you on that, that most non-white people, the numbers of non-white people that have died is, I don't know, 1,000 times more than white.
All right,
I'm just going to say it's a lot. I don't know the number. That's why I hate to say a number, because as soon as I say a number, you going to try to get your calculator out. I don't know the number. All I know is it's far, far more. So what I'm saying to you, if you put those people back on the planet and you say they have a regular amount of kids, which non-white people have always had more kids than white. That's another thing. So So even if the little white people that have died was back on the planet, you add in the numbers of their kids they would have had, then subtract deaths from all them, you still would have a whole another planet on top of this planet. Instead of 7 billion, it might be 17 billion.
Let me ask you a question, because this holds true for both Europe and Africa. Was it a more common cause of death amongst Europeans and Africans during the period of the slave trade, during the international slave trade, to die of waterborne diseases or by passage?
I don't know, and I'm not even talking about that right now.
I do.
Hold
and
on.
I'll tell
Sarge,
you. Like, no,
Sarge. I don't want to go there. I'm about to wrap this show up. I don't want to go there. I want to answer that. I'm asking you questions right now, if you don't mind. I'm trying to give you the ability to speak as free as you want, but I'm not wanting to ask. I don't want to go there. Because I'm trying to establish something with you. I'm trying to establish something. I want people listening to you to hear your answers. And I think what's in my head is right. I could be dead wrong. Dead wrong. That's why I'm asking you questions for you to clear up for yourself. And what am I trying to say? I believe, Sarge, in all due respect to you and your research, that you have a very much white supremacist kind of foundation. I mean, for somebody, it's people that love America and would die for America and would fight for America. And even, I don't even think Colin Powell would agree with you. I don't think a lot of blacks are white.
He's a liberal. He wouldn't agree with me.
I wonder if even George Bush would not. I think.
He's a liberal, too.
What I'm saying.
Man, look, if you're going to cite somebody, put me up against another conservative. Don't put me up against a liberal. They're all
well, I don't know.
Poland is a liberal.
Listen, I don't know.
Not a black man,
being
he's a
liberal. I hear you throwing liberal out there like that's an automatic strike. I don't know that conservatives is any. Let me finish. Just because you like wearing that Sarge the conservative, I don't think that gives you grounds or this. What word am I looking for? I'm a little tired tonight. I don't know that make you any right than anybody else. You can be just as off.
Oh, but you know what? I have a basis.
Hold on, Sarge. Just because you are a conservative, Sarge a conservative, patriarch conservative, so what? You can be just as kooky. Hitler was a conservative. I mean, just because you
was a radical. Now, see, that's one of the biggest lies liberals tell. That Hitler was a conservative. He was anything but a conservative. He was a radical revolutionary. Everything that was conservative about Germany, he rejected. He rejected the monarchy. He rejected the church. He rejected the established Junkers Prussian aristocracy. Everything conservative about Germany he rejected. He said we were creating a new revolution in Germany. Read Mein Kampf. He was like a national socialist. It's right there in the name.
This is what I want. This is what I want to do. Sorry, this is the last thing I want to do, and I want to move on. Then we're gonna wrap this up. I want to name some people, and I want you to be. I want you. You've done this really good. You've been very good at this, and I want you to really be honest with me. And that's one thing I don't think you. I don't think when I find out, I'm gonna let you know. I don't think you lie though. I think you're pretty honest. So I want to name some authors. And I want you to tell me.
Will you ask me a question about somebody? No, I just said, I don't know. If I don't know, I'll just tell you. I don't know. I know about Hitler. You better believe that.
What I'm saying, Hitler is what they teach in the white community. This is black information. This is what I'm about to name you.
You're one of the most influential men in the history of the world. Everybody teaches about Hitler, even if they don't teach the right things.
That's why I'm not impressed by Hitler. But I want to talk about some theologians, some very powerful people, movers and shakers of our time, that's in a lot of these colleges that come out with new information, new perspectives, new philosophies. They're some of the greatest minds teaching in the MITs and the Harvards and a lot of the black colleges. They're there for sure, and they're some great people. And I'm gonna name these names, and I want you to say, I know him, I don't know him. I know him, I don't know him. Dr. Kwame Ture.
I know him.
Okay, John Henry Clark.
I know him.
Shanker Diop.
I know him.
Naeem Akbar.
Don't know him.
Okay, G.M. James.
Yes, I know him.
Martin Delaney.
I know him.
Denmark Vesey.
I know him. Denmark Vesey, you talk about the slave?
I'm talking about the doctor. The guy that one of the first ones, well, he wasn't one of the first ones, but he was one of the ones that said we was Israelites, but he was also a doctor. He might have been an ex-slave.
Okay, Denmark Vesey is a historical figure I know of. The scholar, I don't.
Okay. Ida B. Wells.
I know of her.
Okay. Malik Shabazz. I know
yeah,
because
Denmark Vesey was a slave.
She probably was. I'm just more interested in what happened after his slavery.
But
I just know about his message after the slave. I didn't get. He probably was. It's been a while. This is some. I got this old note out here with all of these different philosophers and different things. Do you know a guy named Dr. York?
York. What's his first name?
Dr. York. He goes by a lot of names. Black guy with a photogenic memory. I ain't going to say too much. He's out.
No, so, I'm not that. No. No, I'm not familiar with him. No.
Okay. Well, I don't necessarily like him, but I do. He has a lot of followers, and he's. But I just happen to have him on my list. He's not one of those persons I really respect. And, do you know Dr. Leonard Jeffries?
Yes. New York City Colleges, a city of. Community College in New York. Yeah, I know.
You know, do you know Julius Hare and his wife?
Yes.
Dr. Stan, no, you mentioned I mentioned him. Okay, and of course you know the Minister Farrakhan. You talked a lot about him in the past. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, and Paul Robeson. I'd be shocked if you don't know who he is.
Oh, absolutely. He was also a communist, by the way, Paul Robeson. Yeah, I know all about Paul Robeson.
Okay, let me ask you something. I want to ask you a flat-up question. Now, if you don't have to, you don't want to have to answer if you don't have to. You told me once you was married to a black woman, right?
Very black woman. You couldn't mistake it for anything else.
But you're not married to a white woman.
What did you say?
Okay.
You a talking one?
No, I'm just sharing. Okay. Now, and I mentioned Naeem Akbar to you, right? Now, if you're married to a white woman, that don't take nothing from you. You could be, there are some people married to interracial marriage.
No, I mean, look, you're supposed to marry who you get along with. I don't care if they're white or black.
That's just you and your spouse. The reason why I'm asking you this, and some people might say that's kind of condescending that you would ask him. I'm asking you that because the kind of questions and the kind of things you say, a lot of times we get all the way down to the end. This person is in a white community. They'll never go around black folk. They don't have any, and that explains it. It don't mean they're any less than a person. It don't mean that I'm smarter than them. It don't mean that even that I'm more right. But I sometimes understand, if you know, like my wife when I first met her, she raised in Madison, Ohio. So she was talking using her, she was very nasal. Now, when I say nasal, you know, white people have to take English because they don't always speak good English, but they're nasal. And some people, black people used to say, oh, that black person trying to talk white. They just mean they're not necessarily talking good English. They're just talking nasal. White people just nasal. I can tell a white person's voice from a black person's voice, but it don't mean it's the English is being nasal or not. So when I met my wife, she was nasal. She's talking very nasal, and that flipped me out. It kind of turned me off because I know a lot of black people, they do that trying to be like white people, and that's not a good trait. White people don't need you doing that, and black people don't need you doing that. Just be yourself. So she was raised around all whites, and it made sense. Now, after we got married, she started being more around black. She started to not talk as nasal. I'm telling you, if you talk to my wife, you would not know she's a black woman unless she come out and say, I'm black. Everything about her sounded like a white person. It wasn't a put down. It's just a culture thing. It's not no points for being black or points for being white. It's just one of those things. So I ask you these questions, and it looks like you've read up, if you was telling the truth, you know quite a few black authors. Now, these
authors, I read them all the time.
Yeah, Anthony Broder. A lot of these people, They, none of them agree with what you just said. None of them agree with none of the stuff you said.
No, so clarity, not agreement. I'm looking for clarity. I read these people so I can get clarity.
Right.
So I understand where they're coming from.
I agree,
I'll say so. If I don't, I can counter their arguments.
And you actually have that right to, and I do too. It's just that normally, if you read 30 authors, as a rule, you're going to get something from all of them, and you're going to kind of reflect some of them in some kind of way. But all of these authors I named, specifically, I picked those specific ones, vehemently disagree with everything you're saying.
Who? Wait a minute. Who agrees?
It still don't mean you wrong. It still don't mean you're wrong.
Wait a minute. Who agrees?
They disagree with everything you said. When I say they disagree with everything you said, Dr. John Henry Clark, I can put him on. I can put him on right now. John Henry Clark believes that white people have done more to destroy the planet than any people ever have. That's what he believes. He believes that white
on what basis?
Listen. He believes
a lot of white people believe that too.
Hold on. He believes
many of them are communists.
He believes that history is so hijacked that it's almost like we're not educated at all. It's like we're just not educated. So what, you got a degree? You just might as well tear it up. John Henry Clark believed that, and he debated three theologians, three scholars, and they were some of the I can ought to pull it up. Should know the names of that debate. I listened to it so many times. But they was the top of their time. If I named them, you probably say, oh, I know them. They was the top. And you should have seen with your eyes, because it was a video, just how they respected him. It was amazing how he would check them. Sometimes when you check people, somebody comes back and say, well, you know, I disagree with you, doctor. But they would be like silent. And it was so overwhelming that he put them to open shame. What happened was one of the ladies, can't think of her name, you probably know this debate when I tell you this, but she came out and was saying she had trouble with John James's stolen legacy. And she was going to try to, she put a book to counter the head book. And boy, John Henry Clark ate that lady for lunch, letting her know, it's a baby. How dare you come in here to try to talk about Europe as though it's something that predates Africa. I mean, he just eats her alive, and they misunderstood. That's not what I was saying. Well, no, that is what you were saying. It was so embarrassing. But you know what? That's only one debate. I've seen so many times that have happened.
If you can, you ought to arrange for me to debate John Henry Clark. I'm ready for that anytime. White people destroyed the planet. I'll debate him on that too. And you know, I'll take on anybody with
I'm
part of
this,
Africa.
I'm gonna tell you this, Sarge.
I'll debate him too.
Sarge, I'm gonna tell you this. This is my personal opinion. I'm just one person. My personal opinion. Sarge,
I said nobody.
Listen. You shouldn't even enter the room with John Henry Clark.
You got to understand, sir. I used to debate people who were supposed to be my intellectual betters.
Just
you know, and I
was
just being on. I used to be on a talk show in Chicago on WLS AM, 50,000 watt flamethrower. I regularly came on there every Sunday. They had civil rights. I debated Barack Obama. I called him once when I wasn't on the show that week.
You can
I debated
go
him. Him. Shut him down. Look, it doesn't matter. I don't care who you got. If I'm willing to take anybody on in a field that I feel I have some expertise in, I don't care what their name is, how many PhDs they got after their name.
Sarge, I got family members that's probably as old as you. If they said they was going to go debate John Henry Clark, I would vehemently tell them, please don't go embarrass yourself. I would advise you the same thing. All I'm saying is this. There are certain things I look for when I look for someone that is even capable of debating. Those white people in the room with him, they supposed to be in the room with him because they can go toe-to-toe with Israel. Now, one thing I have to give you points, though, for, I must give you points for this. If we was talking about the Constitution, the origin of it, what happened around it, I think you can enter the room and debate with anybody. Facts is facts. I got to give you props. But when you start talking about the world and what is really going on outside of them little two documents, I'm afraid. Did you see the chat room? Look at the chat room right now. Still got comments. Do you see what people are saying? Don't mean that they're right. People say people are cruel. They hating sometimes. But there are so many people saying things like you're dangerous and you. I ain't gonna miss everything because some of them hating. Some of them hating. Yeah. But I promise
you, I count on that. If I wasn't getting it on the show with your particular audience of listeners, I would be afraid I wasn't making my point strong enough. Like I said, when you're on a bomb run, if you're over the target, you're going to get flagged. I'm staying on the bomb run. I'm delivering my bombs accurately. And if they don't like it, that's too bad. Let them keep throwing the flak. But you know what? You know what they don't do? They tell me I'm dangerous, but they don't try to argue my point because for the most part, they can't.
Well,
see, I'm only worried about somebody who can defeat me in a matter of fact or a matter of logic. And if they can't do that, I don't care what they say. I honestly
let me ask you a question, Sarge. Let me ask you a question. And I gotta wrap this show up. We got this, these people, they are faithful. They are really listening to us and they ain't even hanging up, I'm shocked. But I gotta wrap this show up. But listen, Sarge, I'm gonna tell you something out of the kindness of my heart, and I want you to listen to me. I recognize sharp people. You are a sharp person. I've tried my best to respect you. I put you on hold a few times, muted you. I never do that, only because of the way you deliver. You know, it's. I feel like if a show person.
Now, there, I'll admit you're correct.
Hold on, you did pretty good. You went upset with me and I took you off and all that. But all I'm saying is this, man. You can be sorry. I'm not telling you to change. Stay the studious person you are. It's enough. You don't find too many people that even care to know some of the facts you do. And I respect you to the fullest for that. But I just think maybe it happened in the military, maybe before the military, but I just think that some kind of way you would be light years ahead of your competition. You probably could debate Johnny the Clark, providing you do what I'm saying, providing you take my advice. But everybody starts with Africa. Every scholar, they start arguing and they'll start going different paths on how this happened, that happened. But to not lay your foundation proper, you'll never get respect. There are a few people still running around saying civilization started in the Euphrates. But like Dick Gregory said, it's comedy, but it's true. Civilization started in Africa. The animals never left. You can go changing, knocking off noses of sphinx and all that stuff and trying to hide this and hide that, burn up the libraries and burn up and you know, but you ain't going to go moving no 500-pound rhinoceros around just to prove a point. Why are all of the, almost every species that you can think of in Africa, there's some species that India got, maybe Africa had many of, but there's proof that they migrated to India. I'm just saying migrated from Africa. So what I'm saying is everything, every animal, most animals, the different types, no other continent has as many types of animals in Africa. Not to mention the raw minerals, the resources. Africa got more than any other continent in the raw minerals, diamonds. I mean, the things that people really need. It's number one. So for those reasons, it had to have been the cradle of civilization. This is what Mendel argued, this is what Leakey argued, and this is what now scholars have agreed with those white men. Yes, y'all right. But it wasn't until Shenkhar Diop, I think, put the fire upon him, challenging the whole European education system, put them to open shame, one black man. That's why I have some respect to him. But I'm just saying, for you to be a scholar to be reckoned with, you jumping off on something, man, that's way out there. They don't have no... And America, even people that love America, that would die for America, they have beef with this country. And for you to be running around talking about everything, you don't say everything is hunky-dory, but you just basically saying...
No, it isn't. I never said that. I have never said that, Seth. I've never said this country is perfect. I've repeatedly said, repeatedly, and will always maintain, it's committed enormous sins. It will never be perfect. It will never be utopia. It is the best country in the history of mankind, the greatest that has ever been, I say. And I say it because it's very specific reason, not because it's perfect. I mean, I don't know where you got the idea I tried to give the impression this country was perfect and hadn't committed great sins. I don't know where you got that, but I never said it, not for a microsecond. I said it had the greatest founding premises of any country. Now, that I do stand by.
Well, just like that right there. That's a good one. I'm glad you said that. Even if you're right, even if you're right, let's say you're profoundly right, nobody else got it like you got it. Why would you be quoting that in the middle of this imperialistic age of America? This time where America is taking on this role of just being the culprit, the what is the word I'm looking for to describe the spirit of America right now as to what it's doing through foreign policy? I mean, it is not something to be going around tooting your horn about. People now are singing the Star Spangled Banner quietly. They're not yelling it all out, swinging the flag like somebody crazy. I mean, this is not a time.
I don't either. But I'm simply saying that, yes, it is, if you're inclined to do so. There's never a need to hide America's light under a bushel. America's always probably, even if it collapses, it will be the country with the greatest foundational premise. It will be the country founded now with an eye toward ensuring as much liberty as possible for its citizenry, consistent with a civil order. I think that's a fantastic thing to happen for any nation. Hadn't happened before. It really hasn't happened since, because everybody who claims to do it claims to be copying the United States.
Sarge, listen, I got one person just hung up. So,
by the way, imperialism, this country has almost no record of imperialism. Of course, you want to count the westward expansion as imperialism. Okay, fine, do that. But I'm talking about once the country was founded and established from coast to coast, it's got almost no history of imperialism. The Spanish-American War, when it acquired the Spanish colonies, they were liberated within 50 years.
Sorry.
50 years.
When
I mean, what kind of imperial country
is
that?
Listen. Go around the world and you infiltrate governments, infiltrate countries, nations with your brand of democracy. I don't think everybody needs to be hollering by democracy. People need to do whatever works for their country. If somebody's not a democracy and they've been fine for 300 years, thousands of years, we should stay the hell out of their country talking about some democracies. Just let what work for your country find. If they have a dictatorship and they have a good dictator and everything's going well and they're not squandering money, leave them alone. If they have communism and it's working for them, everybody's happy with having everybody the same thing, leave them alone. You know?
Yeah, but
we going in there. Listen. Please listen. We go in there hollering democracy. But it's a trick. Watch it. Just watch.
Did North Korea launch a cross-border invasion to occupy South Korea, yes or no? Yes or no?
I'm asking you the question, Sarge. I don't want to take any more time. I'm asking
right.
the question.
Well, you're talking about when the United States intervened.
What I'm saying
I know
to you
is that intervened
listen, what
when countries get invaded.
What I'm saying to you is we send missionaries over there first, get them used to seeing our people over there, warming them up, and then over some years, we start questioning their form of government. We start going into meddling in people's business, saying, your leader ain't this. This is when they got resources we want now. Only if they got resources. They ain't got what we want. We leave them alone. But if they got key resources, things we need, we'll start trying to undermine the government, start trying to say the things with propaganda. Then we get the people all ready talking about they want democracy. We want democracy. We want what America got. We want democracy. We stir up through the CIA and all these other little fake programs like the Peace Corps, send all these fake people to infiltrate our way of thinking. So we get all them people stirred up. And then we get the cameras over there showing certain a protest. We always hype it up and show when certain angles of the crowd, make it look like it's a lot of people, and then their people see the cameras and say, oh, everybody's against our government. And a lot of times it's not so. But Gaddafi had all kind of folks fighting the NATO and us. Anyway, so next thing you know, they hate their government. Now there's a coup happening. Then we always fund that coup, send them our weapons. Man, we've been doing it so much. Next thing you know, that president, we start getting them involved. There's one guy called the economic hitman. They probably used to call it a long time ago. But they send people in there and start trying to trip them up policy-wise, get them indebted to us. It's just an old game, man. I'm not even a scholar and I know this. They start tripping them up with getting them in debt. And then World Health Organization, the World Bank steps in. Oh, we can help you out. And they start loaning them. They end up being slaves and pimp stuff. Before you know it, they are nothing more than a puppet regime, another extension. They're not the United States. They got their own flag, their own song, but they really are an extension of our control. We call that SARS imperialism.
All right. Oh, look. You know, I'm not gonna disagree with you as much as you might think. Yeah, that's going on. You know, it's been going on for a long time. You ever heard of a Marine general named Smedley Butler?
Not really.
Okay. Smedley Butler was a Marine general, and he was, frankly, he led a lot of these expeditions into Haiti and the Caribbean and Dominican Republic during the 1930s. And he was kind of disappointed with it all. Because he felt he was like being a gangster for the United Fruit Company. And he complained about it. So, it's not like it's anything new. But a lot of that has to do with, crony capitalism. You know, by the way, this guy won the Medal of Honor, by the way. He was a highly decorated guy. But, and this is what he said. He said, I spent 33 years and 4 months in active military service. During that period, I spent most of my time as a high-class thug for big business for Wall Street and the bankers. I was a racketeer, gangster for capitalism. Helped make Mexico and Tampico safe for American oil interests in 1914. Helped make Haiti and Cuba a decent place for National City bank boys to collect revenues in. I helped in the raping of half a dozen Central American republics for the benefit of Wall Street. Helped purify Nicaragua for the international banking house of Brown Brothers in 1902 to 1912. I brought light to the Dominican Republic for the American sugar industry in 1916, helped make Honduras right for the American fruit companies in 1903. In China in 1927, I helped see to it that Standard Oil went its way unmolested. Looking back on it, I might have given Al Capone a few hints. The best he could do was operate his racket in three districts. I operated on three continents. Okay, now you know what? To some extent, he's describing the very kind of crony capitalism, in other words, fascism, that I've been decrying. That's not free markets, what he was complaining about. You might want to look up Smedley Butler. He might be your kind of American soldier. He was highly decorated. He was a genuine hero, and he was an iconoclast. Like I said, he got the Medal of Honor. Served in World War I, served in all the Bush Wars, everything. Look him up. He's a very interesting guy. But, I don't necessarily agree with Smedley. I say if we were sticking to free market capitalism, the very things he had to complain about, he wouldn't have to do. See, I'm not saying the United States is perfect. I keep telling you it isn't, and it never will be. And you won't hear this guy up and think a nation as big and as powerful as the United States is perfect, and none of them are. But like I said, what this country has going for it is better than all the others, better than all the others, no matter what sins it's committed. And I know about them, Seth. I know about them. Believe me, I study them too, because that's part of our history, along with the good stuff. And you know what? This country is more than a compendium of its sins. Its virtues deserve far more extolling than it does condemnation for itself.
Well, listen, I got to wrap this up.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Well, listen, let me just say this to the callers that are still listening, hanging on. I do appreciate your time and you're to be commended for just to be interested in these kinds of conversations. That means that you're studying and you're trying to know what's going on. This is Five Smooth Stones and it's Brother Seth. Talking to Brother Sarge, we got to go ahead and sign off because it's going to knock us off in literally a minute and a half. So I got to do this Sarge anyway. It's going to literally knock us off in about 60 seconds. So it's better we end this way. But listen, Sarge, you're always welcome, man. So just look for you next time on the next show. That'll be Saturday. And don't know what the topic is going to be yet. I got a few things brewing. But anyway, thank everybody for stopping by Five Smooth Stones. And y'all, don't forget to go by the website, www.
smoothstones.webs.com. It's on the front page. Go there and register.